February 2013.
Lisa Wright for RCC.
Agnes Lute, Bonneville Power.
Brad Trumbo, Core, Walla Walla.
Doug Bapp. Oh, go ahead.
Brian Design, Walla Walla.
Doug Bowles, Core, RCC.
Ryan Bissell, Bonneville.
Steve Schlenker, Portland District Hydraulics.
Andrew Traylor, Core, Bonneville Project.
And this is Brad Effort, Core, Portland District.
Lori Abner, Portland District.
Scott Benton, Bonneville Power.
John Rarisich, Portland District.
And Tammy Mackey, Portland District.
Tom Lors Crickfoot.
Steve Zate, Portland Mechanical.
Travis Davidson, Portland District.
Gary Henry, Portland District.
George Medina, Portland District.
Carol Schneider, Portland District Environmental. Karen Coon, Portland District Hydraulics.
Okay, that's everybody. Action items from the last meeting, which was back in October. John Rarisich was going to schedule a meeting with the region to meet at Bonneville in reference to the AFF.
That was for the DSM, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Look at the DSM's channel. So at the last meeting, we had a lot of NOAA participation, which, you know, they did not express interest in that meeting, and it was kind of for others that were interested in seeing that, and my time's been limited, so I have not scheduled that. But is there anybody around here that would like to look at the DSM channel and orifices?
I've seen them.
I suggest we remove this as an action item.
Okay. The second one's also yours, John.
We were going to set up a meeting to discuss a plan forward with the AFF that occurred on December 6th, and the Corps and the FPOM subcommittee met. We sent the most recent documents regarding those AFF improvements on January 30th. We'll discuss that a little later in the agenda.
I didn't get one.
We changed the number.
You have to change the number.
The access code wouldn't work anymore.
That works good. You put an invitation and change the number last minute.
Just the host code.
Yeah. You should have an email.
I did.
You have an ad that works for you?
Go to everybody.
Yeah.
So if you want to call him,
seldom seen.
I sent it to everyone you sent the last agenda to.
That's everybody.
Who was the person who tried to get it? See if he's on the
phone. He wasn't on the phone yet.
I did do that. He's on the phone. He's on the phone. Come see what it does.
All right, you know what? My throat is
so, okay. So I guess a few more people will be calling in. Perhaps.
Pops on his back and
who's on
somewhere at 6:30.
He's snuck in the back door.
Come on. School
today. Same with Ryan over there.
Oh, jeez.
I made the mistake, Gary, of thinking that you were already here. Otherwise, I would have had you escorted out when you got here.
That would have been okay with me.
Okay, John, AFF?
Since we had some folks walking in, I'll just go over this one again. And we had our meeting regarding this action item to meet with the FPOM subcommittee and participants from Fitterwig, who is on the AFF improvements team. That meeting occurred on December 6th, and our most recent documents were sent out on January 30th. We'll be talking a little bit more about this. There'll be another update coming up here in a few minutes.
Okay. The next is the Bonneville data mining. I wasn't clear on what this was about.
Me neither.
And I took this right out of the notes. not pointing my finger at anybody.
This is
you didn't like the notes.
This is regarding one pager development.
Right. And we'll talk more about that later. So we'll just bypass that one. Pardon the pun. The next one, Christine Peterson, who's not here.
I think it's already taken care of. They already installed. This was asking whether or not we're going to give the transceivers over.
No, from what I understand, this had to do with the
count station at East Ladder.
Yeah, at the Dalles. And
right.
into the future.
Yeah. Well, they're installed, and we're maintaining them.
Okay.
Just like we do on all the other ones.
Okay.
It's the temporary one.
All right. So next, anything anybody wants to add to the agenda? Change or add? Okay. The last Fitterwick notes. Any changes or anything to those? Moving right along. First thing on the agenda then is the update on the spillway work that's going on, the repair work. So Lori,
The repairs of the OG for Bay 9 and 12 are completed, minus some final grinding that will take place sometime over the next week or two. The undercut has been repaired. So the undercut basically that we found downstream of Spillway Bay 2 all the way over to Bay 5, and the repairs are completed and we're spilling over them now. Bay 14 repair work started last night. They'll be getting ready for concrete, and I have not heard I don't have a good schedule right now. They'll be done by the 21st-ish, if not before. And they're working at night. So all Bonneville spillway work is occurring, spillway repair work is occurring at night. So what's left to be done is to get the steel concrete busted up out of Bay 14 so concrete can go back in. We'll let it cure. They need to grind, and they need to grind. When that's curing, they'll be over at Bay 9 and 12 doing some grinding at night. But it'll be done by the 21st, no later then.
When will it cure by?
I need more information on that question. We're hitting 4,000 pound concrete at 3 days on our current pours, on our current concrete cylinder work, and we're getting 4 by 3, and I don't remember the sevens, but we're getting plenty of strength fairly early on. From a spill for a gas perspective, 3 days. Spill for fish passage, probably 7. By the time we can grind, we can spill for TDG reasons.
What do you think the cap's going to be for TDG spill, about 50 or so?
We hit 60 yesterday, and we're right at
point.
It. So, and that was basically 2-foot gate openings across the number of bays.
Yeah.
Well, we hit them with, we hit about 105 with 40 the other day, and was that with a different pattern?
It was a different pattern. Patterns have changed almost daily, but the pattern that we did yesterday, they had not started work in Bay 14 until last night, so yesterday we had the whole spillway available, and so we could get to 60-ish with 2-foot gate openings.
That'll cover the rest of the future then if we're
and then,
about,
then
lose a bunch of 40 or 50.
Now we have Bay 14 work going on, so I have to keep the energy out of the south. So now our pattern is a little different, and we're at about a 2-foot gate opening up to 40. So it's different than the pattern before.
Are you using the flattest pattern?
I can't, but I can only use half of the spillway right now.
I understand that. But
yes, oh yeah, it's definitely
the one
flat.
You put it out with the 2-foot openers instead of the 4-foot opening is what I should be using.
Yes. The flat pattern is the one that they're using right now.
Okay.
And if we have to tweak it somewhere, there's a few tweaks out there.
The concern is Cascade Island exit. That's right above.
Yep.
So what bays will be in use? I heard you say half, but could you clarify?
Right now we're using bays 1 through 8.
1 through 8. Thanks.
I know it's not.
So what's your cure by the end? I mean, if we have followed up September 21st, we pretty much could do any of these spills we're talking
by
about
the
through.
By the 21st, you can go back to the fish passage plan or any other pattern you all choose for me to create for you.
And Gary, they're closing the Cascades Island exit on the 11th, so Monday.
This, is it next week?
Yes,
really?
Next Monday.
Okay.
And next month or this month?
This month. Wash the shore.
Yes.
Okay.
Good.
That's Monday, right? Yes. That's Monday.
Good.
The OGs that you said were completed were
what? 9 and 12 are completed. They need some final grading. I'd rather have them grade them than let the water grade them.
Yes.
It's my preference.
Cascade Island ladder itself and the other cut there, is that?
It wasn't at the ladder, it was downstream of bay 2. It was right up the 2 to 1, and it's fixed.
It's the same undercut that you're talking about.
Yeah, and it's fixed.
Good.
That's good
news. Okay. How's your rocks?
The rocks that were in the stilling basin were argon.
Good.
They were done first.
None are coming back right now as we speak.
None are coming back as we speak right now.
They're in the barn.
Yeah, the currents aren't strong enough to move them back right now.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Lori.
Good news.
Let's just end the meeting.
Yeah.
It can only go downhill from here.
Yeah.
Okay, so next, Bonneville Spillway. No, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I haven't crossed that off yet.
He likes good news. Bonneville.
So much, that again.
Yeah, morning. Bonneville AFF.
Jeff Ammon's in the valley today. He couldn't be here. But we sent out our latest documents regarding the AFF improvements on.
Ed Meyer, are you on yet? That's bothersome. I definitely want him to hear this, and apparently people aren't getting your. Is anybody on the phone yet?
Yeah, there's 4 or 5 people on the phone.
Okay, I'll send you a message.
Are you going to text it? We could be here a while.
No.
Well, I'm saying he's got a flip phone. He's got to go the 1, then the 2.
You're talking about my abilities.
I was saying it was your technology. I wasn't talking about your abilities.
Yeah, you were. I know. Yeah, he's on the phone.
He's not. He's
on that phone. Are you on the phone? Snapper. Or is he on hold? On the other one listening.
Are you on mute? Are you on hold? I don't know. Okay.
Well,
sorry
about that.
Oh, yeah, let's just go ahead. And
send okay.
Hey, John.
So we sent out our latest documents on January 30th. The AFF memo was updated based on information from that December 6th meeting. And a contract has been awarded. We had a pre-construction meeting at the AFF with a site visit on Tuesday the 5th, February 5th. The contractor's starting to provide shop drawings or revising their schedule based on that meeting. We're expecting them to be done mid-March, March, like by the 15th.
Hold on a second.
Okay.
Hey, Brett, since we have a moment, I didn't see any performance center testing beyond this.
Just a better week.
Yeah, so we don't talk about that ever here.
What's the new number?
It was more of a...
I would be happy to answer some questions.
Yeah, this is more about... Damn, if you've gotten a chance to look at data, and then the new performance center test been released.
We had to send out a whole new email.
That performance center test in the lower
so people in the room don't have the number.
Here.
So
reports are sent
out. Here.
We're going to attach to the Fitterwing agenda?
What?
We're going to attach to the agenda? I didn't see that email.
I emailed the draft reports.
I'll look for
it. Just Monday or
Tuesday. I'll double check.
Let me know if you didn't do it.
Yeah.
You don't have size issues. Email.
Usually not.
It's only five minutes.
I'll take a look.
Yeah. Because comments were due yesterday.
Excellent.
Okay, there's no email out there. We'll go over the AFS stuff when we have the...
He's on the distribution list.
Yeah, but we blocked all Corey mails.
Oh, okay.
So, Ed's trying to get on. He says there's no email out there.
I'm looking at it right now.
So, I don't know.
There's a delay between us and you guys. Since he's calling in, can you maybe just do the next
jump
one?
Jump the next one? How about Orifice?
Brad.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, so with B2 orifices, George, Karen, John.
I think we do B2FGE and orifice then combined.
Okay.
Starting with B2FGE, we've got PRD. Well, here, let me do this. There's about three or four folks that participate. The Federal Wave on a routine basis, I didn't expect this thing, so bear with me.
There was,
anyway, we've got the turbulence reduction device fabricated on site.
Was there another number on there?
It's the same as the access.
They're both the same. Sorry. No, it's the same as 44. Yeah, those two.
Damn,
how about you?
Ed Dummeyer. So, good?
Sorry.
No, not at all. So we got the turbulence reduction device fabricated. It's on site. As you recall, what we're attempting to do is to address some of the issues of the gate wells, namely to reduce the turbulence in the gate wells. So under the proof of concept idea, we've got we fabricated a turbulence reduction device that's going to fit into the slots. Working out some kinks around that, but basically we're looking to install those. We're also looking to instrument the gate well itself, capture data from that, velocity data from that. That'll be integrated into the CFD model that we've got. Revamp that model a little bit and evaluate additional. Evaluate additional alternatives down the road a piece. We're also going to conduct a field test, out the biologic field test. I'll let John kind of speak to this in a little bit more detail. But that, in a nutshell, is what we're looking to do. I think you guys are all aware that we've got a couple of projects out there that are vying and competing for resources and time. So we've got scheduling conflicts that we're trying to work out, and I think that we have worked those out. So in short, we're looking to actually get this thing off the road 14th of March. Is that about right, John?
Unit 14 will be dewatered on the 4th. The trash rack pipe for fissure release is installed shortly thereafter. The velocity contractor is scheduled to go in on the 6th of March. The TRD installation, 6th of March, and we have the unit out of service until the 23rd of March. And then on Monday, the 25th of March, the velocity contractor would go in and be testing until April 5th. And then following the weekend, Monday, April 8th, I believe it is the beginning to Spring Creek test fish releases. And then we'll have a delay, you know, as the Spring Creek run comes through right around the start of spill, and then we'll continue with test fish.
So there's two tests. There's the hydraulic test first. And what's the dates for that again?
March 25 through April 5, I believe it is. Let me see if I have a meet.
Gary is writing that down. You should also qualify.
Yes, it is March 25th.
Well, March 25th. Those dates are pretty good. We're comfortable with those dates. We need to be a little. There needs to be some flex in that schedule, and I think that we're taking that into account.
He didn't know what you're planning on. You're going to start that. That's like a 2-day, or how long is that going to take?
The velocity testing.
Yeah, the velocity work.
That's scheduled for 2 weeks.
Oh, for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I keep hearing different things.
March 25 through April 5.
So March 25, 3 April 5 is hydraulic work.
When is the fish release again?
First fish release would be April 8th, I believe, is the Monday. Monday, Tuesday, Spring Creek fish will be arriving at Bonneville, so we'll have a lull there while they pass. Spill starts, and then in between Spring Creek releases, Lyle has it scheduled to do test fish releases of Spring Creek fish.
What day do you anticipate Spring Creek fish to be there?
I believe it, they'll be there right around the...
Start a spill.
Yes, yeah, start a spill.
I think they're putting them in the day after, so 12th or 13th.
Okay, yeah, we'll, you know, this schedule is... Okay. We'll be working with Spring Creek and adjust as needed.
Yeah.
We've also been working on Appendix A language for the FPP. I've made copies of what we've come up with if you want to go through it. Or yeah, you can.
So you mentioned the unit 14 being taken out of service on the floor.
Yes.
Right? And it's out then for that for how long?
Until the 23rd.
So it's almost a month.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's a limitation of capacity of our house right there. Is that
in
the outage schedule?
That is on the outage schedule. Yep.
So all these, all the dates that you just went through are in here?
Yeah.
We are.
Okay.
Again, I want to emphasize that those dates, while we're very comfortable with those dates, and John's worked very hard to, John and Jerry worked very, very hard to get those. We need to keep in mind that there needs to be some flexibility in there. We've got a grain that we are expecting to come online, and if indeed that comes to pass, then things should go a little smoother. But with that grain, if we have any glitches, any problems with that grain, it kind of bumps us around a little bit, so we have to adjust accordingly.
They're going to fit, right?
Oh, absolutely. That.
I actually took a look at them the other day at Bonneville. And one of the action items from the last meeting was, you know, addressing the rubber and the brushes. And we made a decision that those should be doubled up, and they are. I took a look at it. They're laying out there by on the 90 deck.
Gary, you brought up a good question. Would it fit? Well, yeah, we anticipate it will, but I want to emphasize that this is a proof of concept. And if indeed it works the way we anticipate that it will, we'll go back and we'll redesign to address some of the issues that are, well, lessons learned, but then some of the issues that are.
No, I'm not considering these in any way, shape, or form a future solution to this at this point. This is just a test.
It's a test, that's all it is.
Several times, so
I'll keep emphasizing that.
I'm less concerned about brushes and all that stuff. If this is just a test, you know, fish. And if it was in there for year after year after year, then it's a different question.
Right. Right.
A one season test is a little easier to deal with.
Now, I need to also point out that this is a subset of the FGE report, the alternatives report that Randy's been working up. I want to say that the report is pretty close to completion. We laid out, put together a team to do the ATR on that. Randy, you want to speak to that?
I'm ready to get it to our technical editor at the 90%. So I hopefully we'll get that to her Monday. Checking her schedule, she might be able to do a quick turnaround, and then she'll be ready for review. I hope by late next week or early the following week. Finally get it.
Good. The more of this work, these two projects were separate, but it looks like they're going to migrate together. The more of this work. That orifice report is pretty much it's complete. It's somewhat ready. It is complete, but it's ready to go to ATR. As complete as the PDT is going to get, and that should be going to the ATR. The same ATR folks that are doing the FGE work, and our intent is to integrate those together during the design phase. So that basically, we're looking at an integrated system.
ATR,
Agency Technical EU.
Air Transport.
Gary, you want to speak to any of that?
Airline Florida Air
Transport.
Where we are, yeah.
I think we also want to point out that there isn't going to be a light test associated with this field test that we're looking at. I know that we kind of went back and forth on that a while back, but this is a straightforward TRV test.
Yeah. Okay.
Any questions, thoughts, concerns?
We need to see what. So what you're basically saying is you're coming out next with a review of what you've got so far on the offices, because we had some specific comments on those, and that was a long time ago. What's happened since?
This particular view is for within the core, right?
The ATR is within the core.
Well, that makes sense.
Just a question regarding Spring Creek. Have you been coordinating with Dave Wills?
Yes, yeah, yes, yeah. No, we've been in discussion with Dave Wills. Lyle's involved. We've contacted Spring Creek. Yeah, everything's up to date there, I think.
And there's another one. I sent you the email I got from Dave on release.
Yeah.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's IEPR?
Did you send that release?
You don't want to know.
When do the other agencies get a chance to look at
it? Right after we finish working on it.
Yeah. We can talk to you about probably taking it back out again.
Well, this is the document you're talking about. Is it the EDR or the DDR?
The EDR.
The
EDR is what we usually refer to as an alternatives report, but we have to refer to it now as an engineering design report. But it's an alternatives report.
I get lost in the acronyms again. I've been at this a long time.
So EDR.
What I really want to know is
fish-related or velocity testing related?
Direct comments on the orifice priority work. And the core was going at one point in that was very different from our final comments on it. So we weren't in lockstep at all. So that's why I'm waiting to see where you guys ended up on
this. This hydraulic design.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but
this one, I think we that's the fish down there at the bottom.
I don't know. It's just kind of it's been a black box, and it's been a long time. We've missed the headway. We've got months, and actually been more than months, probably almost a year. Power. So I don't want to miss it. It's been a long time since we've had it.
Is there a reason why we can't send it out to the other agencies?
My concern is that we get a long ways down the road on something, and we're not on board with that, and then we end up with
I believe that we incorporated the comments.
Okay, well, they're pretty radical comments because we were looking at basically going back to monitoring.
Yeah, I'm trying to go back to think at what point that was. But yeah, you should have received responses to the comments.
Responses to, excuse me?
Comments on the orifice EDR.
Yes.
I think you put together a comprehensive response. It was a formal document.
That was sent out. Yeah.
Response.
But to Brad's point, if it's
a lot of water under the bridge,
just saying, we can get back to you guys again for review.
And I just resend that out. I guess what I'm saying is,
I don't know. Can you make it an action item? Oh, it's on the website?
Yeah.
I sent you the link.
Can you make it an action item for me, please? Thank you.
Regarding your comments. I would send the current 90% document that's going out to ATR along with the formal documents that we sent back on their comments back out, just to send it back out so they don't have to go find their email. And
Tammy's making that an action item.
She sent an email out with a link to it right
now.
Please, that way we can get back on board because I'm trying to make this as painless and simple as possible.
You get done.
Process
still
be a project.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we'll do that.
We'll do us as your
V7. Any other thoughts,
comments,
questions?
Yeah, one. Your unit priorities, that's not exactly ideal. Do they have to be this way? What kind of flexibility do we have on unit priority, if any?
During the testing?
During the velocity testing?
For
the biologic testing, really.
This is velocity only testing.
I don't.
And the reason for that.
Do you need both units on each side running too?
That's the preference, and we need when we're testing on the one to the south, we want the unit to the south for sure, with testing in the unit on the bay to the right, to the north, we want the unit tested. Yeah.
So I figured they repaired is what I was guessing.
Yeah, that's what we're trying. Ideally, we keep the three going. But...
now, if Unit 2 priority this time of year, hopefully it'll be all units will be running.
Yeah.
Looking at the queue, it looks like we look like all but maybe one, looking at the projected flow.
Yeah.
All but one.
That we pretend all but
two.
Sorry. All but one of the seven that are available.
Giving up on that other whole damn.
So, but we should have a full load.
Yeah.
So they should all be running, but we wanted to identify what was necessary. Kay. Sorry, Gary.
Okay. Any more on the, I hate to even say Orbis, or the B2 FGE?
Talk much more if you like to, but I think we're good.
I don't want to. I don't like to.
Go back to item 4.
Yeah, let's go back to item 4.
Ed, are you on still?
I am.
Hello, Ed.
Howdy.
Back to the adult fish facility update. Jeff Ament is in the valley. This is John Rearsich, by the way. And so we sent out our latest documents on the 30th of January. We updated the memo per the last meeting. And a contract has been awarded. We had a pre-construction meeting out at Bonneville last week, or this week on Tuesday the 5th. Had a site visit with the contractor. The contractor is starting to come up with their shop drawings, and the Corps is going to look at them very quickly. We don't expect too much time to review those, but we were thinking that if we didn't see anything that was different than the original package, we would be okay. In the contractor's schedule, he can be in the lab until the 15th of March. That should give us hopefully plenty of time. Hydraulic design is planning to go in after the contractor makes mods, take more velocity measurements. Just the timbers may need to be modified to adjust height over valve 15. Just their height at valve 15.
And the water surface inside the AFF.
Yeah. Bonneville placed a staff gauge in the exit section of the AFF to monitor elevation over the weirs. We suspect we're getting more flow through there than we should be, and that's part of the problem. I'll let Andy speak to what they've found with valve 2 and 3 this year out there in their winter maintenance work, but and go ahead, Andy, before we move on.
So when we were dewatering the Washington Shore Ladder this winter, normally we would close valve 2, which is a valve that's in the AFF but also supplies water to the Washington Shore Ladder. We gave it a closed signal, but when we went to actually dewater the ladder, there was still water in the ladder coming from valve 2. So with the electronic controls, we weren't completely able to close the valve. We closed the valve upstream of that, so we could dewater the ladder. But right now, our mechanics are working on all three of the big valves that are in the AFF, 1, 2, and 3. But specifically looking at 2 and seeing if there's a problem with the limits, where it might be maladjusted, and providing more water than we think it has been, which is a potential
source of our extra flow.
Right, exactly. But those valves are pretty big and pretty complicated. So if it takes replacement of one of those valves, we wouldn't be able to do it this winter. We'd have to do it next winter when we water the AFF again. So that's kind of where we're at.
So that could result in a higher flow through there than what we would like to see for the trapping operation. Steve, are you planning on doing a post-construction evaluation of the flows through there to make sure that we got what,
right.
See what we got. Anyway.
We have we'll see what we got. We have the difference between what we should have, which is about 38-40 CFS, and what we measured, which was up to 60 CFS. So it's 1/3, 30% difference.
Right.
So Now, if our measurement is wrong, and it turns out to be the actual rear flow, then, hey, that's good. But I don't think our measurement's wrong. So hopefully the changes we're making down at the weir with the porosity plate will reduce some of the leakage. But if we have a problem with valve two, that's got to be addressed too.
Right, right. Okay, well, we just need to get an idea of what we've ended up with after all this is done, so that we can kind of make a determination of something, how it's going to affect anything. I'd like to know ahead of time that we were going to be fixed. But with valve 2 being a joker in the deck, now it's, you know, we can do everything we can do and still have a problem with that. So
y'all know where valve 2 is? It's the valve that feeds the pool 48 in the main ladder, but mainly goes to the
we're 50.
We're
50.
Yeah, we're 50.
Oh,
yeah. Where the AFF exit comes into the ladder.
Right.
So the improvements we made this year will probably help a little bit, even if valve 2 is still the culprit. But we may not get back to what originally we had in there with the good flow conditions until a year.
At this stage of the game, do we know what's wrong with valve 2? Do we know what's wrong with it?
Mechanically, from the outside, it seems to operate just fine.
And they run it through its open-close sequence?
And that seems to work just fine. But there's seals inside the valve that we can't see unless we take it apart. Or put the ROV down in there and look at it from the inside, which is what we're planning to do.
Okay.
So until we do that, we won't actually be able to know for sure if it's closed.
Right.
We can't
unless
see
you put
it.
Water on it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
So, yeah, at some point, probably in late February, early March, we're going to invite FPOM subcommittee members out and any participants and researchers that would like to, you know, be present for placement and the mounting of the recovery boxes. And they will be adjustable. But we just want to make sure everything's user-friendly.
So just a recap, we've got the recovery boxes, we've got this modification to the flow through the return
pool drain weirs,
drain.
Yeah.
And we have the exit. Are we still
pipe extension.
Pipe exit extension.
Yeah.
We're still, have we arrived at a configuration, agreeable configuration amongst everybody for that?
Well, we have shop drawings, and yeah, so far I thought we were all
everybody's okay
in agreement
location.
That would be okay.
I would like to add an addendum to that.
Okay.
The memo, the last memo, put in what you asked for. One of the things was a table of the conditions of the flow at the exit of those booms. Well, after I looked at our results, I went back to Steve Seif, said I think we made them a little too shallow. So we made the shallowest slope 10% and the steeper slope is 12%, right? So that improves the velocity a little bit. The other thing, you said we're going to get another 20 GPM put into the flumes, because the amount of flow that apparently has been in the flume is almost, you know, it's like 5 GPM. It's
a hose.
It's a garden hose, exactly.
I was kind of worried about the shallowness and the lack of water. We could have fish just kind of flopping all over the place there. So.
And we did find during the site visit that the slope on the two sections, the end sections as they are currently, is really shallow. I mean, there's very little drop on those. The anticipation is we're going to increase the drop from the end of the elbows all the way out around the corner.
Okay, yeah. I mean, those were short enough. The fish already had pretty good velocity to go through there, but the longer we make it, the more chance there is of slowing down to a problem.
How much water are we putting? Are we putting any extra water down those pipes, or are we just whatever's trickling down?
What did you say it was? 20 GPM?
20 GPM. So we're adding a 3/4-inch line to each of the flumes right before they go into the pipe section.
Okay.
And our drop now will be 6 inches to the water surface.
Correct.
Instead of
This should be good.
Before it was over 2.5
feet. Okay, good. That addresses our concerns here, so we'll just see how it works.
Yeah, the proof is when we got there, see what we got.
6 inches
drop
to
water surface instead of 2 feet.
Okay, John, you brought up Jeff Fryer wants to install a pit detector.
At the exit?
somewhere at the exit.
Yeah,
Tom, do you know details on that as far as
he's probably getting shop drawings together. I'm assuming he's either going to, well, since he's not here, I'm assuming FPOM is where he's going to pick up them.
FPOM, yeah.
Yeah, well, those are original, but Gary wanted
what I saw.
Gary wanted something a little more detailed.
And based on what we're hearing about how they're going to protrude into the flow and the fact that it's going to be a tunnel that the fish are going to have to swim through, a narrower channel that they're going to have to swim through, I would suggest that this wait a year at least, you know, or that they look at the shallower exit section
there
for
it. I think that there are new technologies out there every day that make this smaller and more less of a footprint. What I saw looked like looked pretty.
It's your guys' call.
No.
Okay. Easy enough done?
Easy.
I figure we'll talk about that.
The way it is right now, no.
I was going to talk to Jeff when we get back.
But we can try to accommodate it. I just think that the design is necessary.
No, I know. I was going to. I figure Jeff will come to FPOM with hopefully the best drawing and his best guess of what it could be.
And I've talked to Jeff about it. Okay. And he knows that it's a little bit obtrusive as it is. So, but I still think there's a better way to do this just after talking with the guys at Dallas. Looking at the new antenna we have out there, it's like, oh, wow.
Well, it's better than the first antenna they built, which was only 12 inches high. So.
The intrusion into the exit channel, into the AFF exit channel, really causes me
that concern. Me too. So you're thinking of an agency trip, show and tell in March?
Late February, early March. Depend on how the contractor is doing and when they're planning to mount. But yeah, we'll keep in touch about that.
That's probably the best time is just before we wire it up. So once you've got everything kind of done.
We should really have a late February, early March trip, and then one right before the season.
If you want to talk about the placement of the tanks and stuff, that's kind of an annoying discussion.
Okay. But yeah, we need researcher involvement in that to make sure that it's user friendly.
Yeah.
I'll send the bubbles down.
Yeah.
So you're going to schedule.
Yeah, I'll be in contact with Whitaker and through Sean, we'll work with U of I.
Schedule these guys at.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have FPOM at our office next week, so we can easily try to schedule something there.
Okay, that works. We can do that.
Okay.
The sooner the better. Stuff's happening. March is already filling up.
Okay, any more on the Bonneville AFF? Ed?
No, not for me.
Okay. George, back to you.
Okay. John Day, as you folks are aware, we have a bypass system that surface bypass system that we refer to as the top spillway weir. It started out as a prototype a couple years back, and I think it's worked quite well to the point where the decision's been made to make it a permanent structure, a permanent feature. So towards that end, we've taken out the TSW, making it a little bit lighter. Installing another gate, actually making some modifications to the stop locks. The upshot is things are moving along. We expect that the TSW will be back in operation prior to the start of the fish passing season. But I need to put that out that we're having some technical challenges that we're working through. And I'll keep you guys apprised if we kind of stumble along a little further. But we expect to be operational by, again, start of the fish passing season.
And this will be with permanent TSWs this year.
I beg your pardon?
That's what everything's going to be modified then this year. These will be the final.
From that point on, once we've completed.
This will be the Ferrari, the streamlining.
Yes. That's the intent. I don't know about Ferrari, but.
It's more of the white man's Ferrari, the Fiero.
Okay.
So, given that, George, can we take this off of the agenda?
I think so.
Well,
again, the only caveat is that we have some challenges.
Yes, the challenge part's the question.
If you've got some challenges, you might want to leave it on there.
April 4th would be the time to take it off of your agenda.
Fine.
Thank you.
Fine. Sorry, George, you can blame her.
Could you clarify? You can tell me to cork it. I don't want to go too far down this, but the challenge is that associated with, like, for example, fabrication, install, what's the scope of the challenge?
Sure, I welcome the questions. I just take one. letters down to you. Yeah,
can we still tell them to cork it?
You can tell me to cork it. I don't want to wait.
We do it on a regular basis. So.
They're not ready.
The gate
has left the conference.
Which Apple gate, we're having to fabricate a gate that needs a little bit longer time, lead time for the rollers. So where we thought that we would have both gates fabricated, completed prior to the start of the fish passing season, it looks like we'll only have one gate to actually open up the TSW, which is not a problem. That's what we've got now. And we'll complete that gate in the outlets.
Okay. So it's a fabrication issue. It's
fabrication.
Not a... Okay.
We've got some other concerns with the stop logs, center of gravity, making sure that it's right on, spot on, before we actually install them at stop logs. We're working that issue.
Okay.
But at the end of the day, we will have TSWs at the start of the spill season.
That's the intent. That's what we're banking on.
I'm promising.
I can't promise that.
High likelihood.
It's
highly likely that we will. I mean, sit around the room here and talk about all the projects we've discussed. There's always slippage. There's always some.
That's pretty important. That's a big deal.
It is.
If we're likely not to meet that, if you find out that we're likely not to meet that, we're going to know that right away.
I will let you know immediately.
More than 100% spill.
I'm trying to think what spill pattern we go with.
Did that in 68, didn't work so well then. But we may have, what's the mitigation for that?
The point that you bring up is an excellent point. We're very cognizant and aware of that. But I didn't want to dust this under the rug and say, hey, things are peachy, when in fact you do have some struggles a little bit there.
That's good for
you. So I'll give you guys a heads up.
Okay.
We expect it to be, we expect it to meet that timeline, but I will keep you folks apprised.
Okay. Anything else on TSWs?
Okay.
Next.
The B2 corner collector channel repairs. In addition to the actual channel repairs, if you guys recall, we fabricated a gate hoist that we installed at the corner collector. That's been done. It's operational. It's working the way it's supposed to. We were also looking to make some repairs on the channel itself. We have. We're also looking to complete a report that kind of summarizes what we've done and why we've done it. That report's complete. It's being technically reviewed now. We should be done with that. For all intents and purposes, I think we're good. I do want to point out, however, that after some hydraulic analysis was conducted, we determined that, we kind of knew this all along, but we needed to confirm this, that the roughness to the channel is imminent. With time, it's just going to get rougher. And the concern that we've had was, okay, at what point do we turn it over to the O&M community to let them deal with it? And these are CRFM dollars that we're using right now to deal with repairs. We feel pretty good about where we are with the channel. And we're going to turn it over to the O&M community.
Sounds like a design flaw to me. Should have been stainless steel all the way down.
Hey, I think you suggested that, didn't we?
Don't want stainless steel.
It gets bad too.
Okay, titanium, whatever.
It would get too hot.
Stainless steel would. And what? Then it would just like evaporate or what?
Just keep watering it. I'll keep it.
Lori isn't.
A little out of our budget anyway.
Just a little bit.
I don't know. It's not out of your budget.
So I guess the question is, so you're going to turn over to O&M. If the roughness continues to be a factor and gets to the point where it actually changes the operations at that point, would we have to do a redesign of that? That would be a discussion of where that comes from.
And what's the intended service life on this thing? If you don't meet that service life, then isn't that a flaw in the design?
Well, no, I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I think that there's just natural wear and tear on all the
time.
What is the service life, sir? I mean, if it's prematurely falling apart, which it seems like it would be in just a few years, there's some flaw in the method that we use to build it. And the velocities, we didn't anticipate or plan properly for the velocities that are in there, or the debris, or something, but that'll last more than 10 years.
I mean, we believe that the repairs that we instigated and we put out there should address the issue.
Yeah, but you just said
But it's falling apart.
No.
It's just getting rougher.
No.
Well, and were we worried about hydraulic jump?
That becomes the issue. If it gets too rough, then you go to subcritical.
But it's not a construction issue. It's a design issue that the channel is very flat. And we require very smooth concrete in order to not have a hydraulic jump occur. There are solutions out there if, in fact, it gets rough. That's why it's been monitored so far to make sure that we know what the... That's why
my concern is that we end up with something that is either injurious to fish, or we have a jump set up in there, and there's no money in the O&M fund, which are being pulled over and over and over again, to fix the things. We're stuck with our best bypass system not working properly. That doesn't make sense to me. So, it's just, we're back to, we're going to have to do a whole new set of evaluations of survival, because we have a system that's no longer what we thought it would be a couple of years hence. So that's a real concern. And it's a good passage route. It's important. A lot of fish use it, and we need to maintain it in a condition that it was intended to be.
Baby.
So we have real urgency with bypass.
Right, but I worry about he's shifting this over to O&M funding.
That's all.
And then you guys fix it. And it's like, okay, now you got this flume with you'd have to go, I don't know what the fix is, but it's expensive to me.
I think that there's ample justification that if something were to happen like that, that we could come back and fund the CR fund if we have
that's what I'm looking for, but I'm not hearing that.
The
bleeding sound to the south.
Okay. So I can't imagine that they would say no. So
okay. Well,
like all things that we do, they all eventually get turned over to the to O&M. And I appreciate that concern, because it's a real concern.
Yesterday, we need to think about tying the funding of maintaining these things to the building of them. I mean, if we don't do that, then we just put a bunch of employees out there that are broken.
That gets to a whole, an authorization issue.
Yeah, I know. It's a concern that we have in being able to maintain the system that we have that we're testing today for performance. We test what we have, and then we're going to fall apart.
So George, to back up one, does that mean John Day is going plant and service? You say you're done with the TSF uses?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, analogously, that would be true. Don't tell you what it is. As far as I'm concerned, with this project, the quarter collector, we're done. But if you think that it's prudent, wise, and advisable, investigate this further if you can, but I don't advise it.
Well, I'm assuming you're going to monitor it every year, and if you see that these current fixes, for whatever reason, fail or something like that, because we've been surprised by our patches not holding before, that I'm assuming we'd go through the same process then, if we have to go back and make more repairs.
I think the technology that we use to make those repairs, I think it's going to be adequate. Basically, we use the epoxy type of...
Yeah, and we've tried that before. I mean, it should work. Lots of things should work, but sometimes they don't. So the same. I'm assuming we'll be monitoring, and hopefully not have to come back to this one.
They will walk it every year.
I figured you would, Tammy.
Well, okay, whatever. If we see the thing is causing problems, it's coming, is you
degrading.
Know, what you said is it's coming apart, piece by piece, but
no,
it's getting rougher. That's what I'm hearing. You're saying it's getting rougher, that's coming apart. That's piece by piece, particle by particle, this thing's getting rougher. Roughness is a problem with this thing. We know it's a problem. So as we go through time, if this becomes such that we start to get a jump, or we have what we consider a very rough channel, which is your spillway, then I think we're going to say you don't have what you sold us in the first place in terms of fish passage. You've changed it. You've allowed it to change. And it's, at the end of the day, we're going to say, hey, you need to evaluate that all over again. So if you're not worried about that, that's fine. But I'm not going to argue over what's going on out there. I'm just saying that what I heard was that
that's getting worse, and it's going to continue to get worse, and that you're cutting loose of it from an O&M standpoint, or from a funding standpoint. So
is it
that means the project has to pick it up. And the project's going to have to keep it, and if it gets worse to a point where we say, hey, this is looking really rough to us, we're going to ask you to either evaluate it again or fix it.
So, George, is it getting worse?
It's not getting worse. And the roughness is to be expected. It will get rough with time. Like any concrete, like any piece of concrete.
It's not getting worse, but it will get rougher with time. That's getting worse. Because we were all being really concerned about the roughness of it.
That's a word that you're using. I'm not using that word.
No, you said it was going to get worse.
No, I did not.
Okay.
It's going to get rougher with time.
Well, here's, I will ask the question about
what is your engineer's plan?
If issues come in the future where we've got to go in and fix it, then is that something that CRFM can fund, or is that something that O&M has to fund once we turn it over?
Let's find out. If there's a better way to line that channel, then let's look at that.
And there's two different types of fixes that we've had to deal with. There's the patching that we believe we finally have an issue on. But there's also the general condition of the concrete.
That's what I'm
the roughness issue. And I think that's the bigger issue for funding. If the continued normal wear and tear of the concrete surfaces of the whole chute becomes rough enough that it starts to create hydraulic instabilities in the flow, the belief is that is a CRFM funding requirement versus an O&M requirement.
Good.
And that's what we need verification. I think that's what from a fisheries, you want me to write that and send it to you?
That needs to be looked at, okay? I'm not going to completely buy off on that because that's an asset issue. It's not a technical issue that becomes a fiscal issue, so we need to look at that.
But I think that's the question.
Yeah, it is. It's a very, very well asked question that needs to be asked. The concerns that you bring it up are concerns that we have as well. We operate the channel. We own the channel. That's ours. I mean, that's our baby. So we have
a Corps of Engineers. That's what I'm saying.
We're concerned about that.
From a fishery standpoint, we'll look at that. And if we see that it's not what we anticipated it would be, or what we tested, and this I'm talking maybe 10 years down the road, 15 years down the road, we're just not going to stand back and say, well, we'll wait for O&M to hopefully have some money to fix it. That's not what we're going to do. We're going to say, no. We can't anticipate that we're getting our performance standards with what you have now out there, and we'll either evaluate it or fix it.
Well, let me put it this way. We will be responsive and responsible. We will monitor. We will keep track of it.
Yeah, monitoring. Yeah. And we just need a plan.
Right.
I just don't want you to say, that's yours.
No, that report that I mentioned, there's a plan.
Andy over here and say, okay, it's your problem now. Take care of it.
The report that I mentioned.
Got some grinders?
That's addressed. Okay. Okay. Anything else? German Survival Program. We're looking at a biological index test report that we believe is between 60 and 75% complete. By that, I mean by the PDT. Got to point out that we didn't get the comments from the region on that. We're looking to have that document completed sometime this spring, and we would very much welcome input from the region. The document will comprise a main report that addresses the overall concept of what we're looking to do and why. It'll have appendices that will include John Day and McNary and part of Farmville. The report will leave holes in there. By the holes, I mean, as funding is made available, as resources are made available, we will study additional projects and project sites and make assessments and recommendations accordingly. Any thoughts or questions, concerns on BIG? It's not just a quick summary of where we are with Ice Harbor. We're moving forward with deterioration of both the fixed and the adjustable blade. We're making final design for the fixed blade to start up with the adjustable blade. And I know, Gary, you've expressed an interest and desire to have a B1 report, the B2 mob and investigation started. As you're aware, or you're just as aware as as many of the PDT members for TSB, that Bob Davidson's got his hands full with the ice harbor, so that's going to slip a little bit, but we believe that that report will be completed by the end of the FY.
This is the B2 BEAT analysis or the B1?
Well, there's a B1 report.
B2 BEAT analysis.
There's a B1 report that looks at the summary BEAT analysis.
Less concerned about
and
that
then
since
the B2
we
model.
The B2 modeling, the B2 BEAT analysis is the most important thing that we could get right now.
Well, the B2 modeling is when you were down there this last time.
Right.
You know that we had some challenges with that, but we're very comfortable that by the end of the FY we'll get that up and running and squared away.
Well, it's running. It was fine. B2 model, I don't know if there's any problem with it at all.
Other than
the
fact that
the B1 had a problem, right. But we do have the BEAT analysis for B1, so I'm not as concerned about. I mean, it's not a report. It's Bob's typical, you know, hundreds of pages of strike data and all that. But at least we have that. What we don't have is any data for B2. We have zero other than our observations from December 10th trip last year. So I'd like, what we were hoping to get was some BEAT analysis work done on B2 to help us understand what we were seeing in the model. So that's first up in my mind. That we have nothing for that other than some observations. So that would it would be good to have at least some, you know, the usual pages of, you know, where the beats went, what the strike rates were, shift in direction, and all that stuff.
All that work that you just mentioned, it hasn't been done completely. It's been fits and starts.
Right.
But the commitment that we're making is that by the end of the fiscal year, we should have that work.
Okay. Yeah. Last I heard, it was probably going to be something like July or June, July. So you're thinking it's going to slip to
October? Yeah, I'm going to say that it's going to slip a little bit.
Okay. The other part of this is this data mining exercise that we've been talking about, and we're still pursuing that. I think we've talked, although not in the last few weeks, talked with PNNL about that. Got a one pager that I'm just about done with, and we'll send out to you guys. This essentially two steps. One, to look at the data, see what we have as far as sample sizes, how fine can we look at the data, and then two, if and then determine how fine a scale we can look at it, and then the second phase is to do the actual analysis. So the questions that we're going to look at are at B2, looking at the turbine survival at the different operating points, and use all the data that we have available. I think it's 2008 to 2012, the acoustic telemetry data. The other question is at B1, looking at operations and turbine survival based on operation of those units. The other is at the spillway. We've talked about this before, and either by individual bay or by groups of bays, depending on how fine the data we can parse it, and hopefully be able to say something. And then the other part of that will be the dowels at inside and outside the wall. So it's kind of behind the eight ball on that. Huh?
Where's that?
It's right here.
Uh-huh. What's the answer?
7.
42. Yeah. It's always 42.
42, that's
correct.
There
you go.
We know what the questions are.
And so, yeah, behind the eight ball on getting this out. But
I'd like to know more about where we're at with the actual analysis.
Yeah, we haven't started it yet.
Oh.
So.
Like that before the end of the month, actually.
Which month?
I was going to say, did you specify which month?
Of which
so we
year.
We finish our discussions on
the plan is
operations
that
for 13 yeah. With
we're not going to have
in
it.
Hand. Not going to have it, are we? We're just going to guess.
That'd
hey,
be
that's cool. Yeah, it'll be a policy decision. I'll put up right now.
Yeah, it would be nice to have that done, but it's not. So.
Okay, so why is that? Are we spending too much time on the Willamette, or is are those are the guy at PNL too busy with other stuff?
No, Brad's too busy with other stuff.
Oh, Brad's too busy with other ads.
Yeah.
Okay. So. Okay, well, sooner the better on that. That's
I know. Kind of,
especially the issues that are what are for this year's operations.
Yeah.
Hey, Brad, he just wants to know. He's not grilling you.
No, I'm going to grill everybody today.
I'd like to know.
That's why we have these meetings.
Operations.
Somebody else here to grill you?
It's off the wall.
House, what we're doing?
No. I would like you guys to have the data to make smart decisions for south of the wall.
Yeah, and that's one of the things we're going to look at.
I'm just glad that you are.
Yes.
When they say south of the wall, are you going to try to break out, say, phase 9 versus 10 to 11? Because that might guide us in what we want to repair first. Whether we do a trunnion pin or require ropes.
Yeah, whatever. It's probably going to wind up being whatever's open, because I don't think it's very often. But
it wasn't 12.
It wasn't 12. And we'll have to wait and see how many fish pass those bays.
So 11, not 12.
Yeah, we didn't do a test in 12.
It was worse than 11.
Yeah, I figured 11 would be the worst case.
11 was really worse.
As far as how we spilled.
We had a lot of spill to the south of the wall at 11.
But Bay 9 didn't work in 12, right?
Correct. So that's also a good reason to do some comparison between 11 and 12.
Comparison between?
Well, my point is that if you look at the survival south of the wall at 11,
we had it wired in 12.
We had 9 up. So 9 was the first bay on. In 12, 9 wasn't available. And so the first bay on was 12. So, because 10, 11, and 13 have bad wire ropes. So my point is that would be one of the interesting things to tell is the trunnion. What do you fix for A? Trunnions or wires?
The thing is, you didn't have the dowels wired in 12, did you?
What's that?
Wasn't wired in 12, was it?
Yes, it was.
But you guys had it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think outside the wall was not wired when we first spilled outside the wall, but within a few days, they went in and put hydrophones and systems in. Yeah.
Okay.
So there was a few days where there were no detections. But
so do they know? They know nothing at this point. Whether they even have enough data to say anything versus, I mean, there's two levels there that you talked about. We've asked the questions. We had to look at what data we have to answer the questions to decide whether we can answer them, and then we answer the question.
Gene, do we know anything yet?
Well, we haven't started.
Okay.
That answers the question. So what was the question again?
Gene, quick plan to run around and quick plan to show them.
So we'll have a low flow a year. We won't have to worry about us spilling outside the wall, and we can let it slide until 14, right?
Unless March gets crazy like it has the past couple of years.
Right. Then we won't be able to decide which bay that we'll just pick a number.
Wing it.
7. Oh, that's the wrong side of the wall.
It's 42.
It'll have to be 14.
Yeah.
Double it. Sometimes.
Okay. Anything else on this topic?
Not on that one. I have one on performance testing later, but we can talk about that later.
Okay. John Day South, count station.
We should have a punch list walkthrough today. It's installed. It should be working. It is working. We're installing some trash racks on Monday. All intents and purposes, it's a go. So
what we'll need to talk about is O&M on that, or not O&M, operations, just the O part. That was something we haven't had a discussion on, and that's for FPOM. Tammy,
next Tuesday.
It's on there as an update. So it has been for the past 2 months.
I want you to solve that.
So from our perspective, that was a
just saying.
That turned out well.
Good.
The Dallas Northeast Adult Fish Ladder, that's the backup, the AWS. We've got some team members here that kind of wanted to get into some detail, but very briefly, we completed the EDR. The ATR was reviewed, completed, with a technical review last month. And we started a DDR using our sister district Wall Waller to actually do the work. Came out in December. We did a walkthrough using the EDR as a basis for our study. We had a kickoff meeting here yesterday. Randy and the team, could you speak to that just a little bit?
Yeah, some of the folks here in the room, whoever were there, I think had a good meeting. I think the goal was to essentially have the Walla Walla team, the technical team, get oriented to the project, get the information they need to start their work on the design. Ryan Lowry is the technical lead from the Walla Walla district team, meeting their team on the report. And Brad Trumbo here, biologist, on the team also. I think we hopefully will have a 30% a quick schedule here.
And Brad has a presentation.
Oh, okay, maybe that has.
Yeah, I mean, it's not even really necessary. It was just summarizing kind of why the East Fish Ladder is important. You know, what the DDR had shown, or the EDR rather, had shown as far as what the four alternatives are, that we're going to go ahead with a kind of a deep water tap in the four bay and route that water into the fish lock and down through the fish lock and into the I don't know what the name of the channel is, next to the East Fish Ladder entrance, so that water can actually flush through the diffuser grating into the channel entrance. That's essentially what it was. And then to discuss the schedule with the DDR.
It's up.
It's up, man.
The presentation's up if we want to go through it, if folks want to.
The schedule part is the part I asked for yesterday. I'd like to make sure we have, really kind of like to get a handout or something on that, just something.
We still have to work through it here ourselves. We have to pin that down ourselves.
Yeah, just the minutes of the meeting, maybe you should have something in.
Yeah,
we should get it figured out, just have to.
We had a little bit, like a straw man schedule, but I think I need to talk more with Ryan about the internal dates and George also. I think we would like to get this done in the end of the FY. I'm going to talk to you a little bit.
So who's going to be responsible for the schedule? I'm putting this down as an action item to develop and distribute the schedule.
Okay, I'm responsible for the schedule. I'm the former district's lead on it, so it's coming out of essentially our shop.
Okay.
So we'll get our schedule to this body here, but just in very rough terms, we're looking to accomplish this by the end of the FY or thereabouts.
I think we need to talk a little bit because we also have a VE study incorporated in this particular job, so has to be incorporated. That's a little bit different than we did in the EDR.
So we're basically looking at 30, 60, 90, and then we're looking at a
final.
VE study. And the final, and the ATR. So I'm thinking the latter part of the FY.
And you guys are thinking more detailed than I am. What I'm thinking is you're talking DDR 13,
channel schedule.
Plans and specs 14, and installation by 15.
That's the intent.
That's what I'm looking for. I don't care about your 30, 60, 90 dates and all that. I know that's flexible and needs to be.
During each process, we'll be providing cost estimates. So throughout this DDR process, you should be able to see updates of the cost.
The EDR cost, we had cost done at the EDR, and total project cost was, and that includes design and all this supervision and whatnot, it was 16 million. And construction, I think, might have been around
19. And a 9 sticks in my head, too.
And 9 to 10.
That's a number that was on a spreadsheet somewhere.
That's correct.
Half that cost of the construction, of the design, is the placement of the plaque for Gary's.
Yeah.
That was $4 million.
So that's $4 million right there.
The bronze statue.
Oh,
I think.
Very quick, I mean, Gary indicated construction mid-15.
Right. No, 4-15. To be done in operational.
I want to, I mean, if I have a caveat on that, that's that's a good estimate.
You're a downer, George. No, I'm realistic.
That's a good estimate. But again, it's all predicated on funding availability.
I understand that.
And some of the issues that may or may not come up as a result of the DDR plans and specs in terms of construction. And I think preliminarily, I think we're looking at a 2-year construction phase.
That's not a break.
Oh, yeah. I want to add a relevant reality to that. That's a good optimistic perspective, but
what's your plan?
15-16.
I'm asking what your plan is.
Just what you said. It's okay. An optimistic perspective.
Okay? Well, that's fine, but I need to know what your plan is. So put some dates down. Everything should happen, I understand. Yeah. But let's have some idea what we're trying to shoot for.
We will do that, but I want to make sure.
I need that for the for SCT, for the budget process as well. So.
No question about it, but I want to make sure that the team's comfortable with what they're doing.
All right.
Generally, I'm looking at a schedule of about a year for DDR, you know, this year, and then plan to specs a year, and then construction
maybe 2 years.
So I think right now, for lack of getting really, I think the dates we most likely know are the short-term dates for this,
particular, from that point, with
the DDR, but then kind of doing typical type time frames as we know the history of how we do things. And it kind of brings us into that.
We're trying to decide if this belongs in the 18th, in this biop, or the 20th.
Yes, you're in the next.
I think you know, Gary.
Be ready to put in the 2018 biop, okay.
And we started this in, what, 93?
Yeah, something like that.
So when you put it in that context, I think that we made some significant progress.
I don't know.
At that rate, so. We're no longer in decadal time frames.
In 20 years, how much have we got done?
A lot of reports.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, I mean concrete steel implementation.
Not a kill to us.
I look at it from a positive perspective, and that is that the last 3 years.
I never look at it that way, George. We have.
Yeah.
But it's still paper. You're done.
Are we going to?
All right.
The other question I had on that one is like, what's the long term plan?
If we did get
this thing in, would we talk about phasing using this, or would this only be used in an emergency situation, or would we talk about phasing with turbines?
Just emergencies.
It's emergency only.
Okay.
That's what.
Because those fish turbines are not exactly spring chicks. So I didn't know if you would use this to get work done or rehab them in the off season to.
They're some of our best turbines out there, maintenance wise.
Yeah, they weren't 10 years ago. Those things were always down. They always had cracks.
They've been
kind of
down
stuff.
A lot over the years. I know they've been improved. They've been maintained.
Well, they had to be. That was one of the requirements we had.
Yeah, but they're doing fine. I mean, that's what the hard part I have. Because,
fortunately, why do you say that?
Just don't say anymore.
They're doing fine. Yeah, because nothing breaks in this area.
What was that sound? That?
Oh, was that a blade? Oops.
Oh, I just got an email.
Yeah.
Just like Ice Harbor.
All right, you guys are planning on driving back today.
Yeah.
So
that was the plan.
Okay. So
you guys got all kinds of time.
Ryan wanted to do a presentation on these hydrofoils and potentially installing them and the mouth of the corner collector. So he also has a presentation. And he's on the end of the agenda. So let's go ahead and move him up and so that they can get out of here and get back to Wally World. So you may have to. Tom, will you open those?
Yep.
They're doing the very end. So that Ryan and Brad can head on to.
Okay. Hold on.
Right after this, I have a meeting with you. So we're leaving right after this. You're going to make this quick, Ryan, right?
Yeah.
Okay. We have another one at 11. Oh.
This wire fitter weighs a day and a half long.
And have you sent them to
the we can schedule you guys for
the keyboard.
Only if there's something like fishing involved in the sea. Whatever gets me out of the contracting business problem.
There you go.
So you got to be doing these trips down like in August, September when fishing's going to shoot. So
that's right.
We're fishing here in Portland. We don't have an hour and a half 40-minute conversation about Lower Granite bypass.
Right.
They can eat apples for God's sake, so I don't whack my head on the table.
She typed that in.
Yeah, pretty much.
Lessons learned from all along.
Or there's on the Derek.
Bring apples.
Don't put anything in PowerPoint.
So PowerPoint's fine. It's not 40
everything
slides of PowerPoint.
No dates.
I thought they got the dive work done.
Be optimistic, but don't.
Don't promise anything.
Because if we're doing 70 spill, we're not. We're fine. We're talking about 105. Ooh. Everything I've been hearing is we always need to spill about 40.
Oh, there
they are. Maybe closer to the road.
Don't make me nervous.
Little screen guys supposed to be floundering over there. For me. Really, this is a presentation for Portland District. Most of the agencies have already been aware of the situation that we're kind of going to propose here. The idea here is to install hit tag antennas inside the entrances of our surface passage structures located primarily at Lower Granite Dam. To do it, I'm proposing to take standard 2-inch ABS pipe, put the antennas in them, like most looped antennas for pit tag detection, and then basically put a shell around that that replicates an airplane wing-like design. That will reduce my drag significantly and stabilize the structure within the entrances. And that's the intent. So, let's see if I can... Is there a clicker on this thing? I don't know if that one does any pushing.
Hey, Lisa, will you grab the... I think the mouse has a really long cord on it. In there. Grab that, please.
Just right click.
There used to be a cordless mouse, but
that worked.
Walked away.
Yeah, just click on the not the next, but the click off of that to the right. Now click on the screen there on the
picture.
There should be a video.
Well, so this is how it works.
I mean, it's really boring. It's so cool. Yeah.
Very laminar flow there.
Doesn't that require an additional file or? Because your email just had the presentation.
Oh, maybe it had the. You'd have to have the AVI file.
Okay. So
maybe it doesn't.
The video is actually on the website that you can go to and look at it. Move.
Okay. So the intent of these things is when debris does enter to throw the fish surface passage structure, they swing backwards and they're also able to swing side to side as debris passes past them through that mechanism. After I made that really cool video, we decided to build a hydraulic model with a 2-foot wide flume that replicated the velocities and flow depths of what we had seen in our RSWs. Based on those results, this is kind of a snapshot showing like a 2-foot tumbleweed or up to a 4-foot tumbleweed and how responsive they were just with that, those smaller types of structures. They're able to swing backwards past the debris and then swing back in position without colliding with themselves and or getting hung up all the time. Although there was potential for debris to interact with the wall and two hydrofoils, and then they would hang up. And in this picture, I was showing actually two pieces of debris on both sides that were then able to dam up debris coming up. So we knew that we had problems with the walls and the first couple hydrofoils for certain types of debris. But we did learn that, you know, based on what we were seeing, that the drag on these structures are 20 to 30 times less than a standard pipe. So that should give some people who have done the field work trying to hang different things like trolley pipes and stuff out there, this is, they're quite a bit smoother than what those type of structures have been historically. We've also did the design so that you could put about, I think we had about 200 pounds of steel or aluminum lead at the base of these structures to help weigh them down and stabilize them. But what we found out was the less weight we had on, the more stable they became. So that was a big benefit for us and the structures that would be required to hang these. It does look like they will interact with the debris and shed the debris, but we were very interested in finding out what these do in a full environment of an RSW. So with that, we are developing a 1-20 model of our RSW. We're going to slap it in the front face of the existing 1-40 sectional model at Goose and replicate an array of 16 hydrofoils to be installed at Granite. We're hoping to have a model visit for that at the end of March. While we were down at Erdick, Scott, Gary, this is where you guys admit that you thought this might be a good idea. So we're looking at potentially putting in the front of the B2 corner collector. With four hydrofoils spaced at 3 feet apart, we may have the potential to detect up to 100% with the standard antenna design being put inside the hydrofoils. The structure that you have out in filling the gate slots right now, utilizing a 12x12 beam at the top and a 8x8. We're not quite sure what the beam thicknesses are on the walls on those, but we did do a structural analysis on that, and the most any member would see is about 11% of its capacity. So we're thinking that we could be able to clamp on a frame to the front of the gate slot fillers and be able to use that as the mounting structure for the hydrofoils. The main benefit there is that we did not have time this year as a design team within house to come up with a design to install at the RSW entrance, which would require a hoist system and a guided slots for the lifting beam and everything else on the hydrofoils. So we're asking through a professional service contract to do the installation, and they have fairly limited design capabilities. So utilizing the B2 corner collector with its about 16-15 foot clearance gets us back down to a simpler protective design. So it was attractive to us to be able to do a test before we did full implementation into the RSW.
You're thinking four hydrofoils off of this one, right?
Right.
Hanging off of it.
Right.
Right.
So that's
not what's with the other two.
Yeah, and the problems with the outer two hydrofoils would be that your entrance to your B2 core collector does exhibit greater velocities than you typically see within the entrances of our RSW. It also has more aggressive flow lines, so you have contractions occurring and then diverging right after the throat or in the throat of the B2 core collector. So, for example, our hydrofoils, as they're pitching backwards, the upper part of the hydrofoils will want to contract, while the parts that are downstream, leaning but downstream, will want to diverge back in the throat. So they'll have a bow to them. So for me, it's kind of a risk. It's going to be an environment that's significantly more turbulent and more dynamic than what we'd see inside of our RSWs or upstream of our TSWs. But if they do survive hydraulically, then it's kind of a big check mark. I don't have to worry about them anymore. So I'm willing to take that risk. The other thing we'll be doing will be mimicking previous, distant camera setups that we did to evaluate fish behavior in front of the hydrofoils. And we'll try to put them in a locate the hydrofoils themselves, move them upstream as far as we can before we get into a part or situation where we
we are getting structurally to a point where maybe we'll notice. Try and get those velocities similar to an RSW, but at the same time, the trade-off is what's your detection rate, you know? So if you slide them back, you might have that chance to get 100% detection. If you're moving forward and you start losing that detection because of the area that you're trying to cover. So schedule-wise, we're hoping to put out a professional service contract in March and have these installed mid-June. And we are really looking to Portland District for feedback from the original designers and also from operations out there to make sure we identify concerns, showstoppers, and how to operate this thing. So that's what we're trying to move forward.
So as far as schedules go, you would install this, you're thinking installing in June, I think, is what you were saying. You're thinking during the wall of migration, a couple days or one day or two, what are we talking about?
The actual installation period? Well, yeah. I'm assuming that we'll be able to remove the gate slots and then bolt on a frame. Mm-hmm. That might take a day or two.
Back.
And
put
then,
the slots back.
So you might be running without slots, slot fillers for a couple days,
right.
And then put it back in. And then if we have evidence of debris issues, at that point, you just raise up the slot fillers and shed the debris and then be able to put them back down. And I don't know what the time frame is on those to get the crane over there. Or if you leave the crane hooked up the whole time while you're doing that. I don't know if you have that.
You're talking the tie crane? Or?
Don't know. I don't know. Is that the only one that has
that's
access
a tie
with
crane,
that
yeah.
new? Okay. So that's,
well, there's the hoist on it, and then there's the tie crane that reaches over it.
Yeah, the tie crane would have to, because I don't think.
Yeah, the hoist only does the gate.
Right.
So
you can get around it.
Would these be installed right so they'd be essentially in line with the slots where the slot fillers are? Is that?
They'd be upstream of the slot.
Upstream out.
They'd hang off of it.
You see the way that.
So if we go.
Let's go back to your.
Whoever, I don't know who did the structural design of the gate.
Wow, what happened there?
I pushed the spacebar too many times.
We need to watch out that the gate takes
very dangerous
the
dangerous
questions.
Take gate the vibrating.
Uh huh.
But you can always put in a request just to close it for a couple days while you have the gate slots.
I would be a little concerned about the gate with the gate slots out. Because the gate wasn't after we just need to watch that gate.
Okay.
With the vibrating. The reason why we have those gate slots out is because it's really violent when the gate slots are out. That's why we have gate slot fillers in there. Because it didn't look very pretty with the mount. And so we need to watch that gate. If we're utilizing
that. So
you're
worried about the gate itself, okay.
Yeah.
Is the gate all the way out of the way, though, when it's open?
No, it's going up and down and then just being able to use it without those gate slot pillars in there. I don't have an issue with the gate being out.
When it's open all the way.
When it's open, but we have those gate slot fillers for a reason, so we need to watch the...
Yeah, they go on first.
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
So it's just a matter of that. Operating that gate without those in there is something we need to think about because it's not designed to work that way right now.
So in Appendix A, we'll need to add this for the fish passage plan as an outage.
Well, I guess, and could you clarify too, so it sounds like an outage, but just from a maintenance standpoint, could you clarify from your confidence that this isn't going to be a... I haven't been involved in the process, so I guess we have problems with the B2 corn collector getting stuck with material anyway. Is this going to exacerbate it? Or I mean, I'm not understanding how sticking a bunch of stuff down there to grab stuff is going to...
I would anticipate it would make things worse. Absolutely.
But Doug, why do you think we have debris in the corn collector? The logs showed up in the ladders, but it didn't show up in the corn collector.
Haven't we had things jammed in there before?
Not the corn
collector. No, not the corn collector.
We're thinking the ice and trash is at our house. That's where we have big log stuff.
Right.
No, we get big stuff, but it goes through.
No, that's what I'm saying. It doesn't get
stuck.
I was thinking about our house.
No, it doesn't get stuck. But we pass big stuff.
And that's part of the test. I mean, that was one of the goals. This is, can you pass? It's more turbid, and it's a lot of big stuff. Does it work?
Yes, okay.
Correct.
If it gets blown up, it gets blown up, but it's a great test environment for.
Yeah.
This
the
will
fear
not make
significant
things.
Outages during fish passage season would be too problematic. It's problematic.
This should not improve the three issues. If you have
to test the
if you wanted to remove, I mean, that's why we're trying to find something that is easy to hook it up to the crank, lift it out of there, and you're back with it. So hopefully it's like an hour.
Okay. Fish passage season, extended outages for either three or whatever would be a concern. And so if it's not, that's fine.
Is it an engineering concept or is it going to be a fish
season? Both. It would be both.
You said you're putting it in June, and then how long is the test period? Is it 2 weeks, a month?
Throughout the season. So we're trying to end of August.
Ryan, how far out in front there would they extend?
Right now, that the structural model that we had, my minimum would be about 8 feet out, and that's getting us around 10 feet per second, and that's close to what we're dealing with in our studies.
Okay, so just as a point of reference, does somebody know how far out those pier noses extend beyond those slot fillers?
The vertical distance is 8 feet between your two beams there.
No, I'm thinking about
it. So you're out in front of them. You're out in front of them probably by about 5 feet. They're in front of those pier noses.
Because I think what we do know about fish passing the corner collector, just something to keep in mind from a testing evaluation standpoint, is the fish a lot of times will come down to B2 and they'll go along the face of the dam and they come right around that corner and in. So if you're too far out, you may miss them and not know it.
Right. But down the road, if you really wanted to make this a good detection, you could put a flat plate right along that edge. And then married up with the...
This isn't going to be a good detection test anyway. That wasn't your intent.
No. I mean, it's just a trade-off.
So we're further trying to see mechanically how this thing will...
Right.
Okay, so this is just the...
There's a little bolt in there. Yeah. But
you will be collecting data while you're doing
it. You'll be running, yeah, you'll get that. But I'm not worried whether he misses 30% of the fish. It's not the issue here.
My understanding, that was part of the evaluation, and... That's why you were doing the corner collector, because you could do a true detection probability.
Down the road, we're hoping to have this, if it works, that you could have two antennas in the corner collector. It's always been a goal to try to get the detection rate up. And so now we know what the detection rate is of the current antenna. So when you bring in a new antenna, you can compare the two. Where if we did this...
Having those two outer antennas flex like that, I think that already shoots you in the foot as far as detection efficiency goes.
We'll see.
Sure, and I were both thinking that's just not really the way I see it. Is more to get a good idea of whether these. I mean, so far he's tested in a photo, a very small photo. Yeah. This is more of a real world test to see how the thing will hold up. It'll pass debris. Is it going to pop up out of the way like we think it will under those conditions? The big test, and being able to get a look at what fish behavior is in front of this thing would be important in taking it to a much more important structure like a TSW or RSW.
The other thing we got to watch out for with any structure that's in here is that we have a floor right as you come through the corner collector. The floor of the UMT is right there, and we're a little leery. So if structure were to break free, we definitely don't want punctures of holes. I'm just saying, from a design perspective, so if something breaks free, if a piece of this hydrofoil breaks free, it's long enough that it can get. It's just be aware that we want to protect that the roof of the corner collector channel is the floor of the UMT, and it's one of our concerns from a debris. So that's one of the reasons we actually watch debris go through this
thing.
I see
what you're saying, actually.
Yeah.
But you want to put like an armor plate under it at some point.
We have it. And so my point is, again, I don't think it's an issue, but it's one of the things we need to have a conversation about.
This is probably a one-year study of this. I don't know if we're going to... This is something that we would do as a full-time... That's not the way I'm seeing it.
But down the road, you might be able to have an antenna. Because we've always wanted a second antenna there, and this is not cheaper than a $10 million second antenna would cost.
Okay, well, I'm not thinking along those lines right now. I'm thinking of testing this and the idea of putting it into TSWs, RSWs, or other spill bays up the river, or not in this particular.
And if it became a permanent idea, then I think we would have to. If it became a permanent idea, then we would deal more. But from a design perspective, some of the concerns that Portland District will have with a design of any structure up here is we've spent a lot of time thinking about how logs go through here and interact with the floor of the UMT. So those are the same types of discussions we're going to want to have with this device sitting out in front, is if something fails, are we assured of the fact it's going down the river and not going to puncture a hole in the UMT? So those are the types of questions.
Right. Those are good. I mean, now, for especially if we get into a longer term thing, but what Brad said is true, that those, if you've got your two and foils are not really doing a good job of reading, and a lot of our fish are actually coming down the wall and turning in, you miss them.
Well, that's my question, is what's your evaluation? It's like, you're going to use the antenna in the ladder to determine how the collection efficiency of this is. What if the reason you're missing it is because the fish aren't going by it? You're not going to know that. So you may say, oh, we're only getting 20% detection efficiency on this, when actually the 20% you got was like, you got almost great fish of the fish that went through there. I mean, that's the question I've got. It's like, what's the goals? What's going to be the trigger points of being a success and that kind of stuff? And how are you going to figure that out?
Also, what's the test period? The duration?
June to August 31st.
Now, see, to get a good debris test, you'd probably want to go into the following season, into the spring, because June through August 31st, that's pretty light debris.
Unless you did intentional release.
Right. Yeah. Unless you do an intentional release.
And that's what we're anticipating, probably after the fish season.
At the very end of the fish season.
Yeah.
August 31st, about 7 o'clock at night.
I mean, we got a lot of options here.
Right.
I'm not the biologist, so. Eric Hockersmith is a biologist on, so I'm anticipating any contact with you further. But yeah, I think our main crutch right now, we need to touch base with the project and get feedback on that and what they're willing to work with out there. And one more thing.
Why isn't this being tested in a TSW or an RSW?
Right now, it looked like a 2-year setup for us, and we're hoping to have full installation available for us by March, April of next year, so we can do a concurrent dual test with the full hydrofoil array with the one that we're installing and still issued it. So this affords us basically that 6-8 weeks, 7 months of this time. So concurrently we're setting up a task order to do full blown design and see if we can get this into another contract to do a 4-bay installation at Granite. But we won't see any of that until November, December.
Is the data that you're going to get from this going to be comparable to where it will actually go?
Well, the first question will be, can it survive?
Right.
And that's my main question for me. And then biologically, we should be able to get results saying that our fish interacting with this in a negative way. And then that might also provide us some
feedback. Those are the two main questions that I think that's what you're asking.
But when you go back, I guess this is getting maybe too much in the weeds, but when you get further, let's say you go further into your, this is like a test, a concept. Because when you do put it into the intended, I'm following up on Andy's question, if you put it in the intended spot, does the geometry of the hydrofoil change?
No.
Why?
Reynolds numbers are still on the thing at an elevation where you're not seeing any critical changes within them.
And somehow, I guess, trying to make it transparent to the hydrologist, that transparent to the fish, so they won't hold right. up or delay or.
I'm actually on the other kind of. I'm not worried about them seeing it. I'm actually worried about not seeing it. Yeah. It's, so.
All right. Just look at the story. Clock. I got a question about this. Who was the designer? Is it Ryan? Is that right?
Yes, Ryan Lauer.
Yeah, hi Ryan. Hey, what type of transceiver are you going to use with this? Is this a Mach type of transceiver?
Whatever Biomarch wants to go after on this one. So I'm assuming it's going to be their best.
I'm concerned if it is a Mach because they will create noise on non-Mach antennas. It's probably far enough away from the current BQCT antenna, but it could cause noise and hurt efficiency of that antenna if it's not tested prior.
Okay.
What's not far enough, Don?
It's unknown that BQCT antenna is ultra sensitive. We pick up noise from miles away, but I think there's probably enough bent and rebarred between the two that it won't be an issue, but I think we should approach it with a little bit of caution.
I think so.
And a detail also on the hydrofoil design, like vortex shedding on the downstream end, would that, could that be picked up as a cue on fish or even in your pit tag, you know? I would, if I'm not sure hydraulic design, we, in hydraulic design we don't necessarily look at vortex shedding, we have mechanical design, look at vortex type stuff, but, you know.
Well, I think there's concern. I mean, there's not concern for fish maybe avoiding it as well as not avoiding it. That's, there's both of those concerns.
And then just the fact that if you're putting it in an environment that might have your velocities, depending on what material you make it out of, but, you know, vibration, a lot of cycles are happening with that vortex and that type of stuff. We found that, I found that by experience, that certain materials, you don't want to, like aluminum or whatever, you don't want to make it out of that because it could shake itself apart. And crack.
Tiered, or the exclusion devices.
First ones.
Kind of that's more the deep, in the weeds detail, just your mechanical, hydraulic, hydromechanical parts.
Yeah. Right now we're looking at fiber reinforced and plastic. So, the entire thing. So they're almost neutrally buoyant.
Did you have a chance to look into whether or not we're going to keep the intellectual property for this? Or is the biomark going to take it?
Get this thing, I'm selling it to the highest bidder.
I mean, Biomark would love to have us do all the R&D and edit system.
Haven't looked into it.
That's part of the why they were hoping we can do the R&D. That's an important.
Hey guys, I've got to run. I will catch up with you later. This is Ed Meyer.
See you.
Hey,
Ed.
Hi. I think that's an important question that you ought to look into, so we don't get.
Well, if we start putting them in TSWs and we have to pay extra because they own the intellectual property and it's their patent, that's where sometimes we get hooked on these things.
Okay. So, I mean, we'll make sure. But it's a World War II wing design. That's all it is. So, yeah.
You could patent them.
Yeah. If you want planets, I mean, we could go after the shape.
Well, it's just a question of who owns the thing.
Right.
It's a different use for that World War II.
And I believe that as of January 1 of this year, it's first to file, not first to invent. Too, so, like the patent loss changed.
But yeah, we may have already lost it.
But so we may have already lost it. Anyway,
that's nice.
Anything else for Brian? That'd be interesting.
Yeah. Thanks for pursuing it.
Yeah.
I wonder if I mean, it's quite a bit of flow. If that's going to push it up and leave it up, and is it going to sit here and bounce? Does the design allow it to stay?
We saw in the channel it would stabilize at a spot where they're all together. It doesn't really have to be straight up and down, but as long as they're parallel to each other, I mean, it's R&D.
Well, that's the thing about having the outside foils actually bend. That's what's going to be interesting.
Yeah, because we're kind of doing is really 1D type of stuff, so having this vortex that you have.
Yeah, and then you see the flow coming around. Unfortunately, the corner collector entrance isn't symmetrical in alignment to the flow.
Right.
And so you have a short side and a long side, and it really wraps around quick on the powerhouse side.
TSWs are stables have some of that
too. Okay, as well.
Yep.
So you might get this flow imbalance.
I think, as you pointed out, this is a survival study.
Right. Survivability.
One out of four.
Single release model.
What is your goal? 2 out of 4?
If I get the 2 to survive in the middle, I'm good to go.
Yeah, the other 2 can go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yep. Thanks, Ryan. You guys have to stay till the end.
I've learned a lot, man.
Okay.
Yep.
Bonneville, Washington Shore, ladder improvements.
Seems like I have almost weekly meetings.
Tammy, I provided the update, but not the picture. So if you need the picture, let me know.
Okay. I'll just see that.
Thank you. This photo has been out several times. But it's great. It's quite good.
Yeah.
the really idea is to light the presentations of all along.
Go along.
Oh, yeah. I'm just going to work on this guy.
Okay, so on I've had lots of dialogue on Bonneville, Washington shores over the past couple days, so many of you already know this, but I'm just trying to get everybody kind of on the same page about things. So what I did was in the handout, I provided the plume. So you have a sense of what it looks like and what we're doing out in the field for construction. So basically why I provided it to you so you can kind of see, I'm going to kind of explain where we're at on things. So above here, so where this little stub is, there's actually, you know, more that happens, and there's a water collection trough that feeds water in, and so that's at 30% done. And then we have, the pipe that comes down, they call it the grassy knoll area, and that's, we just put in the last piece of pipe for that, so we're in the process of backfilling that. Andrew might know more than I do, but that's what I found out today. And then we're working on, they call this the pipe bridge, so they have to put in anchors basically to put the pipe on until they're working on those anchors, and then they're going to lay that pipe across all the way through. And so then on the flume itself, right here, right where it goes to the wall, that's called the thimble, so that's been completed. And right now, today, I just got a BB that the divers are in the water, and they're actually working on a template for the flow splitter. So what they have to do is they have to go and put the template in so the divers know where to drill the anchors. So that's what they're doing today, so it'll be easier to get that piece in, because it's kind of an awkward piece. And then they also have to get the overhead vertical stuff done too. So that's what they're working on today. So are there any questions about what's happening out in construction? Okay, so we had a partnering meeting with the contractor, and the contractor's on board to complete by March 9th. We're in the process of working through that in order work extension form. We had our discussion on the 5th. And Sean is working up what we discussed, and I don't know if it's gone out to the region yet, but it has gone internally. And Sean, I thought Sean would be here, so I'm a little at a loss here that he's not here.
Sean is sick today.
Oh, bummer. Okay.
Oh, I did give him the crud. Awesome.
Anyway, okay, so.
It's my master plan.
You know, stay tuned on that. But
I should be able to get that sent out today.
Can you? Okay, great.
I just needed Sean to confirm that the final draft that we had was, in fact, the draft to go out.
Yeah. Okay. And I don't know that detail, so I hope you know that detail.
It's almost done.
Okay, great. So we're meeting, you know, with Bonneville Power again Friday, and so ongoing negotiations about power. And we still have our Mondays and Thursday calls. I guess this Monday was canceled for some reason, but I think we're still having the one, you know, this afternoon. That's what I've heard. I hope. So we'll see. Okay, so that's all I had on Bonneville, Washington Shores. Are there any questions for me? Yes, Trip.
So assuming that you do get the extension,
right.
How much of this on the picture here do you expect to get done?
We expect to get all of it done. Okay. That's what we're pushing for.
So what we'd be concerned about is any chance that you came real close to getting it all done, but couldn't get it all done, and there was something down there that just wasn't real favorable for salmon or other fish.
Okay. So what, you know, my expectation is if anything were to be left off, it would be this big bottom piece.
Okay.
Because that has a lot of, it's huge unknowns, concrete surfaces. We're trying to, when we dive for the temple piece, we're also trying to dive to figure out what the conditions are, so we can try to work ahead, be proactive on that. But, so if that were to occur, then what you would have is the elbow through and that, mm-hmm. right? So you would just put a plate there.
Okay.
So that, and then we would come back in and stick that big piece in.
Yeah, my biggest concern about that is October, November time frame and the need for additional water extensions.
Well, and then we've been chatting about how that would look, and we're trying to make it such that it's not a dewatering of the ladder issue. And so Sean and John and Brent and I are trying to figure it out such that it would be I call it dewater or tailwater, so that you don't put the bulkheads in, but everything's to tailwater. But John and the operations people call it something different. So we're working through that right now. So.
So, well, it's essentially the same thing we have planned for the first part of March, isn't it?
Just the North Monolith outage.
Yeah.
So that'll lead in the question of, since Sean's not here,
is that
say if it all goes forward, then the research makes sense.
Exactly.
If it doesn't go forward, how are we going to pivot off of to research? Because obviously lamprey research wouldn't make a lot of sense to do. And some of us, I don't know who, would argue strongly that doing the salmon work, it probably doesn't make a lot of sense. I'll have to talk to him later.
Yeah, I don't think we fully assessed that issue yet. And I haven't had a chance.
Sean was going to be prepared to talk about that today. But
I see, that's why he's sick. That makes sense.
Yesterday to get that done rather than go out to the project. So.
Yeah, I talked to him yesterday. Yeah. He sounded tired.
He's been stressed.
So is the salmon work the interaction with the structure?
Yes.
Is that the piece?
RT, everything else.
I mean, it's supposed to be Bonneville, the Dalles Wall, and John Day. What are the three things you're supposed to test? And Bonneville is, I think, the one that most
concern.
Yeah. I mean, because the Dalles Wall we've kind of been looking at.
So to do the salmon test, you need to have that lower piece in. You don't necessarily have to have a functioning flume.
It would make the most sense.
They'll at least have one entrance. You have the upper entrance.
But the upper entrance is inside the ladder, so.
Right. I understand. It wouldn't be perfect. I get
Natalie,
that.
you may want to not have a functioning flume for lamprey, but have it in place so that you can test the salmon if it's joint with a bunch of other tests.
Yeah. I mean, the question would be is, I don't know, we have to think about this, because that lower entrance is going to have flow coming through it. And I think the flow is what we thought might guide salmon. If it doesn't have flow, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, if it's not connected, it won't have flow in it.
No,
but it would be in the way. I mean, so it's a combination.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the question we'd have. Yep. Is there something we can pivot? What could we still study? What should we still study? Should we just do it anyways and know that we're not going to get a really robust test of what we wanted at Bonneville and just live with it? Yada, yada, yada.
So the plan at the moment, as of right now, is that we'll be done.
According to Langsley, it's no problem. It's all in. No worries. Tell them to wear shin guards next time I see them.
Well, it's certainly going much better. I'll tell you that. That's darn
true. So is, and I'm just trying to think of when would be a good time to brief you guys on the impacts of research and what we're thinking, and could ask Sean to, we could do a conference call.
Yeah.
Or at the next SAT, which is the 21st, you said.
Yeah.
A couple of weeks.
And honestly.
Is that?
No, I think that makes sense. I just wondering, what are we thinking about that?
Not soon enough.
I'm sorry.
If we have to make autumn modifications to the adult research.
Is that even possible? At what point is there no turning back on the adult study?
That's what I was going to ask Sean.
Yeah, I don't know that detail.
Because we talked with, I talked with Tackler.
I don't know it, though. That's why I'm looking at it.
Well, he doesn't get
in
the weeds on a lot of my stuff.
That's right. He
gets
paid more.
I mean, the question is if we could pivot, and there might be some stuff in the lab where we might be able to do that and make more sense. And then the salmon, we just have to think about.
Yes, baby.
Well, we'll let you know as soon as we can set up something.
Yeah, I know.
I would assume that we are very, very rapidly approaching the point of no return. In fact, we may already be there just because I heard that they're hiring guys out in the field for the work.
Yeah, I don't know who made that comment that we should probably hold off on that this year. I can't remember who that was.
It was Trevor.
Yeah, I think it was Trevor. The damn newbie.
So I'm not up next for Bonneville Powerhouse Kelts, but do you want me to go ahead and do my stuff, or do you want me to come back?
You have to wait until the end.
Is that hop along?
I mean, I'm giving you flexibility.
We're going according to the agenda. We always do.
It's like a little war zone.
Okay,
no problem. Come home.
Jay Dallas is on the line, he's my new technical lead on the pit, the Dallas pit work. So that's the next thing I'm to brief you on. And I'm a little bit. Hopefully, Don Wharf has some details because basically we're recommending the pit readers at the count station. So that was what the region really wanted, and the detail is that they're currently doing some thin antenna tests. And Don knows way more about this than I do. But the email that I got was that there is much less concrete takeout for these, and then there was much less cost for them. And since they've already according to Don, they've already implemented them, so we don't have the research and development issue. And no, so with the cost, anyway, I was to brief you on the cost. You know, for so for the normal pin antenna, we thought it's going to be like $2 million a piece for each council station. So then, if with the, I've heard that with the thin-walled antenna, it's cheaper, and I don't know how much cheaper. So Don, do you have any sense of the cost of those thin-walled antennas at that what it would roughly be at those council stations?
Yeah, the cost of the antennas themselves are about $15,000, so there would be two of those. We worked with Chris Penny, Walla Walla District, to put in the temporary system, and those are a simple bolt-in system. They're only 2 inches thick, and they're ramped, very fish-friendly. Chris should have the numbers on that cost, but if there's concern that those cannot be a permanent system, which I don't know why they couldn't be a permanent system, but if they were to be completely hydraulically neutral, you could simply cut 4-inch by 2-inch deep blocks into the pinch-down point of both ladders and slide the antennas in. And when the result of that would be zero hydraulic issues and supposedly zero fish passage issues. But again, the system that we put in, we just finished day before yesterday. Very robust system. It's as robust as our thick-bodied antennas have been in the past. We anticipate near 100% detection efficiency at both ladders. And we should be ready to detect fish at the east ladder on Tuesday of next week.
And remind me what ladder that was again, sorry.
It was the east ladder.
Which dam?
The Dells.
Oh, at the Dells? Or one of our dams. Okay, sorry, I didn't know.
Yes, it's done.
Okay, so that's good to know. I haven't seen them yet.
So. Did,
get that in the notes, 100% detection probability.
Got it.
Contractor checkpoint. For FPOM, if you guys can get some photos and bring them to the FPOM, that'd be great. Some of us didn't get a drive out there yesterday. I'm sure Trevor's got like a video tape of it.
I didn't
see it.
I didn't see
that.
Yeah,
that's good. At least it was the water.
Sure.
Yeah.
We did prototype testing in the NIMS lab in Pasco, Washington, and these read as well or better than our old technology thick body antenna.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. So stay tuned. You know, we'll have to revise. You know, but the team is starting. Jay is going to lead the team, and we still are. You know, trying to get them in when you wanted them. That was just fiscal year 14, that winter, I believe. Or maybe it was that next winter, 14 to 16.
So when do you need a decision to say, well, if you don't want to spend a lot of money on it, if you think these are going to, if it's already in, they're probably going to function fine.
I didn't know if, okay, it was my understanding that there might be some concern about $2 million each. So I think that's going to be less now. I don't know how much less, but so I can come back to you again when I know more, but we were going to wait to go forward on the DDR if you had real heartburn on that $2 million issue per count station.
Yeah, the $2 million per count station was to add more concrete to each end of the pinch down point on those counting stations. Right. But if you were to simply cut the slots, I think you're probably a $20,000, $30,000 contract at each ladder to make them permanent.
We still have to do engineering and stuff.
I was going to look at them on Wednesday, just after water up, to see what the hydraulic footprint looked like post water up, and that might go a long ways towards. And then, of course, you want to see fish behavior as the season goes through it on too. But I really don't expect a problem.
Okay.
Is there any volume spending what we're doing on the other project till the end of the summer? Your project of going ahead with the $2 million design, Gary. Is there any value in delaying the $2 million design project?
Oh, well, we shift to the thin, if everybody's in agreement that if, you know, if you come back and say that, and we get the efficiency we are, we confirm it, and then people are happy with that.
What I saw, I don't anticipate
between 1,500 and 2 million per account.
Well, that's just that's their cost, and then we have to do a contractor
well,
and all that
it's
stuff.
It's already
so.
In that one, and it could probably stay there for a very, very, very long time.
Well, I think
is it at the count station itself?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that. I'm sorry.
No.
I haven't seen any drawings.
No, I mean, I think the key is going to be is like get it for water up, take a look what the hydraulics look like. If we do an adult tagging study this year, that this might be an option we could throw into it and say, hey, let's take a look at pit tagged RT fish through there.
We're going to see, yeah, that exactly. Plus, we're going to get a good, I mean, there's the window there, so
yeah.
We're going to get a good look at what fish, how their behavior.
I'm just thinking if they're in high turbidity, you may not be able to see fish if they're interacting
as they come up to it. You're right.
That's what
so
I was
we
want to
get that, but also you'll get those observations because you can see the antennas, especially the upstream ones. So looking at that should give us a good idea. But I think, you know, I talked to Don yesterday too, and you know, the idea of just swatting, if we did see that we were a little concerned about the hydraulics, we would just swat those in. Very simple process of slotting. Yeah, that takes away all the concrete work we were talking about in extension. It just becomes really simple.
Okay. Well,
yeah, they probably need to do engineering because I'm guessing like rebar.
Yeah, we'll have to
do analysis of that.
We'll have to figure that
rebar
all out.
Rebar a lot easier to deal with.
Yeah.
At least from a good-take standpoint.
Okay. So, but what I hear you saying is that we would assess the one that's in now, but we would also plan to do the one that on the north ladder.
Right.
That's what we would have to do engineering-wise.
Well, they're doing that.
Oh,
they're going to put that in, too.
Oh, I didn't
so
know that.
It may be that then the whole thing is on for except for maybe set those. That would be the permanent part. It would be to inset it on the concrete in the slots if we thought that this was a problem. But looking at what we saw yesterday, unless, I don't know,
2 inches.
You know, we talked about ice and other things that might be a problem. And
awesome.
Didn't think that was going to be a problem.
I would have rather been at the meeting, I was
at. Things like that. So this may last a lot longer than we think.
I just don't want you saying stuff that's going to dare Murphy.
Dare Murphy, yeah. Well, you,
like
that.
We haven't all day?
So, you know, Waterville
really?
Is where Murphy lives, the Dalles, and that.
Okay, so wait to hear.
Scott,
next
Mr. Truman over there. Oh, T1, T2, and Dells are also
okay. Let's see. Any questions? Any other questions for me on Dells Pit? You know more than I do. Okay.
That's good enough.
Yeah, well, that's good to know. Okay, so then the next one I'm to read.
This is Jay.
Yeah, Jay.
I got a few questions for Don. The 10 months have been installed at the east ladder. Have they been installed at the north ladder yet?
Oh, that's scheduled for 2 weeks from now. We should have that fully operational by water up.
Okay. Then you're not running any interference from the crowder, the light box, and all that field?
No, we've designed the antenna so that the field is somewhat shaped and is pushed towards the center and does not couple to surrounding rebar or metal objects.
Okay.
And we've got the east ladder fired up in the dry, and we're not seeing any problems at all. So we anticipate no problems at water up on the east.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yeah. Hey, Don, while we got you, the corner collector, are you going to have the antenna ready to go March 1st?
Yeah, we're waiting for the new generation OG-style transceiver from Biomark that's due to be delivered. Within the next couple weeks, we're going to lab test that, and hopefully we probably will run with the old generation transceivers until Sandy Downing is ready to do her live fish test, and then we'll install the new generation transceiver, hopefully get better efficiency, and if we do, then we're going to leave it in for the season.
Okay, I just wanted to let you know it's turned on March 1st.
Okay, great. We'll be ready.
Okay. Any more on the Dells Pit? Okay, so for John Day Dam. Okay, the main thing that I wanted to flag you on is that I just got an email from Jared, because I think some of you may be going to a walkthrough tomorrow. No? Okay.
No.
Oh, okay, because he said that somebody had planned to go. There's no construction
Sean
staff
had planned
there.
To, so. But I don't know if he's still sick or not tomorrow.
Okay, so wait to
no,
see.
No, the walkthrough is not on FPOM. There is that confusion between March and February FPOM. The March FPOM will be up at John Day, and we thought we could do a walkthrough then, but we can't, so it'll be later this month.
Because the ladder will be, the contractor will be gone the 9th. I mean, they still plan to be, they're doing well.
The 9th of February.
On March.
A couple days.
March. And so we really need to get you in there February so you can, you know, see what changes or things you need to be, you know, worked on. That make the punch list.
Yeah, we were going to do it yesterday, but it just didn't work out, unfortunately, for Sean. So.
Okay, so plan a day that's not a Friday. I guess that's the feedback I'm getting from construction on the works. Okay, so stay tuned on that. We'll be sending out emails trying to figure out what would be a good date.
2:13 works.
2:13? Okay, 2:13.
In the afternoon, I told PM? Sean that.
Okay, so Miro, you know, maybe 2:13-ish. I don't know what day that is. Wednesday. Next Wednesday.
Thursday. 14th is Thursday.
Next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday in the afternoon. So I'll send back a message to Jared.
Why not? I love to drive.
See. Okay. Basically, so we're, you know, we have all the grading in, and they're working on the sluice gates. The sluice gates are what regulate the velocity and how it comes through to the diffusers. And we're working on the trash rack and rake delivery. So we're working on some dogging mechanism for the trash racks right now. And then at the discharge chamber, just so you know, they're actually taking out all that, the rail around it, and we're putting grading on it. So that's being worked on right now. Those supports are going in. So that's what's happening for the entrance. And then for the pumps themselves, we are actually trying to, as you know, pump 5 failed. They figured out that there was a movement in one of the parts of the big diffuser moved, and it caused the bearing to fail. And so now we're in the process of bolting the whole diffuser, which is the very bottom piece, down into the, basically into the casing of the pump. And they can't move. Right. Exactly. So once they're, what they're going to do, the last I heard, there's been a lot of dialogue, is that they're going to do the doweling in 6, because they did not test 6, because the failure is 5. They didn't want to fail both, thank God. And so they're going to dowel it in, and then there's been some discussion about when will Sladen be done so that they could actually do a wet test of 6 with the bit into the ladder. So stay tuned. There's been a lot of dialogue about when Sladen will be out. Can they run water earlier? And so maybe. Okay. And then if that works well at 6, then they will go systematically back to 5 and then do all 1-4. But keeping 4, I told them they have to keep 4 available to meet criteria for when we watered that ladder up. So, okay, and let's see. I think that's all I have. Are there any questions for me on John Dane or? Okay, thank you, everybody.
Hey, will you swing by Chandra's cube and see if she's there?
Sure.
If she's there, tell her we would like her to
come in. She came and peeked in, but she didn't know where.
Okay. So, Brad, what are you doing about the Celts? Since Wertheimer one leg is not around. Mr. I can go to...
Let's get one more thing out of the way. First, just a quick update on the transmitter. Downsized at our next fitter wig, which will be in April. I'll have the first phase of that will be completed, and I'll have all the documentation in hands, and I'll also have some prototype tags. So maybe I'll have Daniel come down and do a spiel on that. Everything's on schedule as far as I know, and we will have a. An injectable tag that we will be testing this spring. We just funded those studies. They're starting the P&L is going to manufacture the tags for the 13 studies, and so they're in the process of doing that. And so we'll have some by next fair week. We'll have some prototypes to.
They have capability of manufacturing.
Oh yeah. And small.
One at a time.
Yeah, or 10 at a time, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the idea behind this. The other part of it, you know, one part of this was that all the components could be done at the machine level. So then all you have to do is put them together and pot them. And that should help drive down cost eventually.
So, Brad, on this one, who owns the intellectual property on that?
We do. Or Actually, at P&O's has you can do a couple of things. You can publish information on it, and they've done that on different parts of the thing. I suspect the battery they will file, but when they file, then the federal government has full and open, unrestricted use to that technology, and so.
But sometimes what we did was we get a better price on the product as being part of the research and development or funding.
Well, what it allows us to do is to competitively procure it, so you don't have a company, you know, Joe's biotelemetry firm goes and files a patent, and then we have to go to them. That's not going to happen. So,
damn, our time to plan.
So, yeah. So you can cancel that filing, Tom.
Damn it.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you get in first, you're okay.
Too late. So I don't know if there's any more questions on that. Sandra's here. So let's let her update us on the avian predation actions. Cindy, who is also sick, had sent me just a quick email. And
you're the scourge.
Yeah. Tom will be sick tomorrow.
I'm sick right now, so I'm just holding on.
So just real quick from Cindy, the studies in the process of getting the funding out the door, it is going along. She's not aware of any of issues right now, and so things are on track there. One caveat, I think, was if the environmental clearances are completed, then everything is, I guess, here's what she says. Studies are on track to begin March 1st if environmental clearances are completed and the co-op agreement between OSU and ERDC is completed. And right now, there are no issues. So. Oh, P.S. Tom is currently down as well, so not sure he will be attending today.
Uh-huh. I didn't want to be around all those sick people.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Tom. I do appreciate you coming
in.
Don't worry. There's only three strains in our house right now, so I gave you the options.
Oh, good. So for the avian predation actions, Malheur is completed. We are doing final inspections on that with the contractor with the one-year warranty. Summer Lake, which is Dutchie, we are having issues with.
Is it sunk to the bottom yet?
Oh, it got better. Not only is it sinking, it's now moving. Next month I was asked if I was going to report that it's levitating.
And it's in Aver.
Yeah, no, it's gotten better.
Crumpling.
Yes, it is. It's breaking apart. It is moving. Yeah. So we are in the process of removing that.
You got to take it out?
Yes.
Okay.
And we are trying to figure out
a different process.
Different.
Still going to stick with the site?
We are. At this point, we're intending to stick with the site, and it's probably going to be a rock construction.
Okay. That's going to take another year. So we'll be an island short.
I am trying to get it done. Because there is funding available this fiscal year, I'm trying to get that through the process to get it done and awarded by this fiscal year so we can construct next
fall. Okay.
And then we'll be in place
for
next season.
Okay.
So that is the goal. There's some things that we're going to have to jump through.
Yeah.
And we are right now, because it is sinking, moving, falling apart, we are running into the issues of the liability and safety, because this is open to the public. Mm-hmm. So
right.
We're trying to get it out. Well,
what is sinking? What
it's a floating island that we have constructed in Summer Lake. Well, it is not floating and currently not in the same location.
It's a peninsula now.
It's not anchored. It's moving around the island. So it's now sinking and moving.
The Kauai.
The barge.
Except a little different.
Except different, yeah.
Yes.
There's no volcanoes yet.
So there's no volcanoes.
To work on.
You can hope.
Yeah, when I got to report this the second time, I was asked what I was going to do for my next trick.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. So that is where we're at with Dutchie, and we will be doing something. what exactly is
there. So back to Mal here real quick. We have to, and we are funding the evaluation of that still. Is that 3 years that we do that?
The core CRFM funds monitoring for 3 years after the last island was constructed. Last island has not been constructed. We are monitoring it, okay. All the constructed islands. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
EPA is funding the monitoring at East Sand Island for terms.
Okay.
And the core is funding the research for cormorants on East Sand Island.
So losing Dutchie means we're short acreage again for fishing terms.
Yeah.
It sounds like it's still there.
It's
just underwater.
Usable.
It may not count as usable nesting habitat.
Aquatic.
That's what I've decided
to
build.
Like, we need more geese.
Still there.
It is still there. How long is it?
Some avian species will use it. Good enough.
So you're working on a contract, I suppose, to remove the current. It's not really an island anymore, is it?
Current. Structure-ish
okay.
thing.
Okay, and then concurrently working on a plan, a contract to replace it.
So I've lost track of where we are with term push. But are we making the big push this year, or are we now?
We are down to 1.5 acres, and yeah. We did not construct any additional habitat, so we wouldn't have changed anything.
So we're not changing anything again this year.
So, and I know according to the ROD and EIS, we can possibly go down to 1 based on our habitat construct.
But we just lost an island, so. That big push isn't going to, we're not looking until 15 now, or not 15, but probably 14, maybe 15 before that happens.
We'll have to evaluate, and we're still trying for San Francisco Bay, but I don't think that we'd be able to do any additional push until we build
a build
Dutchies
and
something.
San Francisco, okay. Okay. Wow, okay. That's an issue.
Completely agree. Completely agree. So, and then that goes into San Francisco Bay. We're still running into the funding issues on the...
Any movement on that?
Not much. So.
Any positive movement?
No positive movements, only backward movements.
So it's sinking. Okay.
I'm not drowned yet.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay.
That's where we're at with it. And we're trying to... I'm still trying to push it.
Good. Good. Is there anything we can do on that?
Not at this point. I'm trying to work to try to figure out the O&M funding.
Okay. Yeah, I know that's the issue.
Keep
okay.
being told. Okay. I've gone to legal. They said
no handshakes. Okay.
So that's where we're at on that.
Sandra, do you? So we had this man-made floating island.
Yes.
At Summer Lake, and so before we put that in, they went through all the environmental clearances and all that stuff.
That is also
do
what
we
I,
do. We and who owns that's
that is the
official.
It's
Oregon.
It's
Oregon.
ODFNW owns.
So do we know or expect any hiccups in with the concept of a permanent island? Or
I am working on that. That brings into other environmental clearance concerns. I'll have to get a DSL fill permit, which we would not have. With Dutchie, also water quality certs. So that is the other environmental clearance. We'll have to update the EA because it's different environmental.
Right,
impact.
But could Oregon say, yeah, no, we don't want an island?
They were fine with it. There are two other islands constructed in Summer Lake at different locations. They do not have a concern about it.
Okay.
The floating island was a core.
Yeah. Okay. So just to make sure I got my notes right, the Dutchie Island fix won't be in until which year? We're thinking.
I'm thinking next year.
14. I think it will be 14. Okay, for the 15-year, 14 late though, so it'll be after the season.
I am attempting to do it in time for
14 season. Okay.
That's currently our schedule.
Okay.
Anything else for Sandra?
Cormorant management plan? What is the plan with the plan?
Right now we are in the EIS process. So...
Is NOAA fine with just doing the EIS? Because I thought...
On record, I want to see the management team brought back and started ASAP. I've talked with several folks before on that.
So what is the expectation for the management plan? No management plan can be implemented prior to the EIS. So
a
participant current, or is it?
Yeah, I think the plan is what's required by the BIOP, not the EIS.
Okay.
So the plan is the main issue, and as we go through whatever we're going through right now, EIS process, I think there needs to be regular discussions occurring regarding research, regarding maybe not so much the credit, but at least the alternatives that are being considered through the EIS process. I think those things need to be talked about regionally.
Okay.
I've heard a lot of people concerned about it. I'm concerned about it because we're not a, whatever you call it, cooperator in the EIS. We're out. No idea what's going on.
So,
and that's been about a year now, so
yes.
I'd like to be a little more involved in the process. So I brought this up with Cindy, and I brought it up with Joyce and with you
yes.
in the meetings.
And
I'm still waiting for that first invite to get back into that process that we had before, which I thought was a good process. I don't know if you have everybody in a room that you had before, but we still need to have some multi-agency process, I think, for discussion of what's going on out there and what's planned. And, you know, the plan itself needs, you know, when you argue about which is, it's almost a chicken and egg thing, EIS versus a plan, but from our perspective, the EIS is just a stepping stone to the plan done. It's not the plan. It's, you know, the requirement for the BIOP is for a corporate management plan. And there's a lot of discussion going on at fairly high levels right now, very high levels, actually, about DC levels, about the corporate issue. So I think that there needs to be, everybody's got a lot of rumors. Everybody's got a lot of pieces of information.
Yes.
Nobody really knows exactly what's going on except maybe you guys. And so I think it would only help if you have a regional forum, regular monthly or every other month or something like that.
Okay.
Process of at least having folks sit down and talk through. There's not going to be anything that they need to be very closely tied with that all the way through. You know, it's an EA and they're going through that process now, but we're still not. We're still doing the meetings, and they've been really useful. They get quite lively.
No, and I appreciate that, and I feel your pain. I keep being told emails going out in 2 weeks, So I'm...
Just keep the message going.
Yes, but my question also for you is, because we are in the EIS process and because there's different expectations and requirements versus cooperating agencies versus lead agencies and all of that fun stuff, what would you envision the working group doing? Because I'm trying to figure out, because it wouldn't be the same as what had occurred before.
The research was one part of it.
Okay.
I mean, the research is going on this year, and as far as, you know, I mean, there was a couple of discussions way back in October, and then November, I guess, or whatever it was. We talked about the preliminary proposals, and then we talked about the funded proposals a little bit in January early.
Okay.
But what we really haven't had is a focused discussion on what the long run activities would be. I mean, my boss comes to me and says, "Well, what are we doing?" Well, I don't know. What should we get? I guess.
One of the things that had to do with different cycles on the cooperative agreement with OSU. It wasn't in alignment with our SRWG process, and we've been trying to get that in alignment. This year it will be in alignment, so there will be a one-pager development meeting for future research, similar to the with our other programs. And I think maybe that'll help, not to
Yeah, not that, not for that to take place of what you're, right. What you're talking
yeah,
about.
This is more, I mean, what I don't want to see is you guys go into a dark hole and pop out at the end with some, with an idea and the rest of us going, oh, wait a minute. No,
and that's,
not that.
And that's, I'm trying to figure out how not to end up
yeah,
there.
I don't know so. The law well enough to know what we can and can't be involved in, but I do know we have a common problem, a cormorant issue, we all know what the problem is, and you know, it's just a matter of talking through solutions and potential solutions, and that should help you get through the EIS. We might have to look at the EIS itself, but we can still
so
talk about the
what
issue.
That's what I was trying to figure out is, because I know in the work
we're not, yeah, I'm not talking about EIS.
Review, purpose, and need, which is basically the management plan, which was kind of taking the place of the EIS without really.
I know, they're two different
things. And they're two different things, so I'm trying to figure out what are the expectations. And if you have anything that you'd like to see different, Tom?
Well, it's mostly just, I mean, because right now I got Blaine going, what's going on with cormorants?
Right.
Yeah.
And he's
so,
asking me too.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I'm not really sure. And
so
and
that's
okay.
Why the core management team, the special SRWG spinoff, something.
Depredation issues. I mean, we're still, we had a lot of discussion going with the two states, and now that's kind of dried up as well. Maybe it's not in the EIS. I don't know. But if it is going on the EIS, I'd like to know what's going on.
No,
and,
it's not.
So, yeah, I mean, that's going to be critical. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, and then there's also this process, the ongoing discussion about what level of take of cormorants needs to occur to meet biop requirements, or you know the gap that we have out there, and that to me looks like about 2/3 of the population needs to go somewhere else, needs to go bye bye. You guys look at that 2/3 or 3/4 maybe even.
You have been talking to Blaine.
You know, no, it's not just talking to Blaine. It's just looking at. Realistically, what the population was pre-biop for the base case, and that population is about 6,000, or maybe if you consider the base case being about 20 years, and you try to divide the population of cormorants that were around for those 20 years, they built from nothing in 87 up to about 7,000 pairs in 2000. So you just you know take seven. You divide 7,000 by 10, 20 years, and there's your number. I mean, that's not going to be very many cormorants. Those are pairs that we need to get back to. So, you know, you're talking about getting a, 14,000 pair colony down to 3 or 4,000 birds.
Yeah.
That's not
going to
happen very easily.
No, that is something that we have been.
Or do we just give up?
No.
And if we give up, what we're saying is that gap of the baseline versus current condition still needs to be filled with something, so the estuary is going to have to be able to do that, right?
Okay, good luck on that one.
I don't think so.
We're not giving up. We do, I know that Cindy's been toxic this week, but we do want to set up a meeting to discuss
discussion with her on Monday or Tuesday, so
we do need to discuss that. We do need to talk about is our focus pairs, or is our focus bridge?
Is focus right, yeah.
Because even when we're talking about the 7,000 pairs, we were at 15 million fishing.
Right.
That's not
no, that's,
we
yeah,
to
and that discussion, I think, needs to be more than just us. It could be a regional discussion.
Well, that's why I thought the core measure plan is one. It talks about what the impacts are. What information do we need to get at? How we evaluate benefits?
And that's not, that is fine to discuss even with the EIS process, and I do
okay.
Agree with these further discussions. I'm trying to.
I just want to get us together, and then we can talk about, there's enough need, I think, to get that started, and then we can define more of the agenda of these discussions once we get it going.
Yeah, but I do.
Because these aren't the right people in the room right here.
What?
I do. Are there any field trips out there this spring?
I'll
go for another visit.
I wouldn't recommend going in June.
I was going to say, June is an awesome
smell. Smell very good.
I crawled through it last time. Yeah, my waiters are never the same.
So, I do agree.
Over an airplane.
If you don't get an email by tomorrow, give me a call.
Okay.
And then I will, again.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Okay, so continue to, please.
I will. Around the notes. I'm on record.
Yes, and that's I do understand.
That's why I asked the question.
I think that we will call it something different versus the working
sure.
group so that
that's
we
fine.
Don't confuse.
Yeah. Okay, that's fine.
What we were going to present. Any other questions?
That's it for me.
Thank you.
No problem. Hey, Brad. I've been filing in the AWS trash rake.
Go next.
No, I'm sorry.
You want to get out of here or something like that?
Yeah.
Did you realize we're almost done?
Okay. Okay, I guess AWS trash rake and racks. This project's moving along pretty good. We just completed a VE study. And the VE study alternatives have yet to be evaluated by the team. A few of the evaluated alternatives are going to require some CFD modeling. So we'll be looking at some modeling of the four-bay area, CFD, and possibly scoping that out to folks that handle that. I think it's P&L and has the model. So want to make sure that we look at debris, look at the way the flows are in the four-bay as it relates to the rack and the rake, and provide options for the crew out there to maintain the.
Are you guys envisioning basically keep what you currently have and modify that, or would you talk about maybe changing orientations? Because that was one of the thoughts we were.
Well, the racks.
Yeah, like either possibly or move it out so it's more parallel to flow.
Yeah,
and maybe have more space. No, we got the questions we had was like, because we've been down the path of trying to get new rakes in there and have not been successful yet.
We got a nice machine set up.
Yeah, got a nice boneyard.
We are looking. We're trying to look at some features that we might be able to implement in the four-bay to aid raking and debris management. We have to be careful putting something, we're looking at 120 foot of depth real close to the powerhouse there. So any feature may be close to the powerhouse may be pretty significant. We are going to be looking at flow management further upstream in an attempt to look at how we can divert the flow. Maybe use diversion prior to getting to the four-bay and allowing the debris to process through the main units versus sort of congregating in front of the fish units.
Don't call it BGS, though.
So you guys are in a feasibility. Are we kind of in a DDR status, or
we're DDR 30%?
DDR 30%.
Yeah, and the
VE on that. Do we have a?
I haven't seen alternatives yet.
So the VE study. We piggybacked the VE study with what we call the design charrette. So it's a 30% design charrette / VE study because of the limited scope. You know, what would be perceived as limited scope, but can be sort of expanded rather quickly if you're not careful. So, and that is what ultimately kind of came up with the VE study, and that's why we're looking at modeling, CFD modeling, mm-hmm. is because in looking at this problem, it's not going to be easily solved with a new rack and maybe hypothetically some raking system, more frequent raking alternatives. Still going to have problems with your ladder, still going to have problems with diffusers, still going to have sediment problems, all those things that will go in, kind of go into our decision making process. We want to look at those and look at them.
I guess I would be.
So, at our next fitter wig, which will be in April, I think it's the 4th, is that enough time to put together whether it's a presentation or a you know, handout or something, but details on maybe what the alternatives are.
So that's where we're headed. Preliminarily, and I'm not real familiar with hydraulic modeling and how much processing takes place. We anticipate having the results by early April. They're being processed by the Corps. We've got the scope written. We know what.
But even just to identify what the alternatives are. I was just going to say
I can't get through a meeting, one of these federal meetings, without asking for at least one ad hoc meeting, and maybe this is the one we need to have is to get, because there's, you know, I think Tom and I are still in the, what we know is we have a big, ugly structure sitting out there that doesn't work, and we'd like to have something better than shutting off the units every night to flood the area.
Yeah,
that's all we know. Right now, that's all we know. We don't know what you guys have done. So.
Okay,
I know you're working on it, but I'd love to see a little more detail, be a little more involved in it.
Could we send Jason Weber's final report out when we get it?
I think that would be okay. I'll have to talk with Eric and see how that works. But essentially, when we went to go do our VE study, the alternatives that panned out need to be looked at harder with CFD. And those alternatives could end up, expanding our scope quite a bit. We want to make sure that we're in the right ballpark and we're not going to just, put a new rack and rake on or whatever, right. and it's not a solve to the problems. So, yeah, the alternatives that we're looking at would include, those structures out there, some sort of flow diversion, something to that effect. But we need to have further modeling results to even see if it's feasible.
All I'm saying is that the more you keep us in the loop on these things, rather than these, it's been like 4 months since we've had a Federwig meeting, so it's kind of a long time. We missed one. But the more that we're in the loop, the less knee-jerk reactions you get when we're, talking about here? Because it is a fish issue. It's a fish funded issue, so it's just a matter of having some either documentation coming out for us to look at, which usually doesn't work so well because we're so busy and have so much email as it is. But having a sit
somebody
down,
else's same boat. No.
Well, having a sit down discussion though, just for a couple hours.
The alternative report can be reviewed.
Whether it's an ad hoc meeting or whether it's the next Federwig, summarize it. Summarize the alternatives.
Yeah, maybe focus on a little more.
Well, and that's what I was wondering. In the study, are you guys pulling in, the Lamprey group? Because one of the things the Lamprey group wants to do is possibly, run units at lower head at night, and that kind of stuff. And there's talk about, we should change the rack size on that.
No, that's all part of the scope.
That's what I'm saying. Three-quarter inch, freezer grade. The happier we all are.
Yep, all those operations are part of the scope.
Yeah, because it sounds like, for so many years we were like, we need to do something, and it's just sitting on the back burner. Now it sounds like it's actually moving, so, that's good.
We've had some hiccups, and that's, team, turnover and other issues that just,
we've hiccups
just
since
sort of
about 1990, what?
Seven.
Yeah.
So that was the first letter of the bashment I sent in.
This is a lot more evidence of movement than I've seen.
Well, and quite frankly, the four bay there for B2 is somewhat problematic begin with. So, it's something we probably should look at a little harder.
Maybe we could build another Bonneville four bay model down there.
Hey.
So how long?
Right next to Lower Grand.
Yeah. No, I've heard there's going to be a spot.
So is April 4th, is that soon enough for do you want to do something between now and then?
No, that's fine.
April 4th is fine. We've been looking along for a while. It's just
How fast things are moving. At some point, you're going to want to bring us in on
So why don't we plan the next Federwig to have a more detailed discussion with some visual aids?
Sure. So you want kind of a PowerPoint presentation?
That would be fine.
Excellent.
And this has been near and dear to some of our hearts. It's just kind of interesting to take a look at the alternatives you guys are putting together now.
Yeah, because there's some of those could be, like you say, very expensive to get us you know, snowball down the road quite a ways.
So, kind of like the bottom of AWS for $22 million that we didn't build.
Well, we just want to verify our assumptions for the VE study as well. You know, there were some assumptions we used that, that may or may not be valid. So, let's
be good. Yeah, because we want to see this thing go.
That's basically what, instead of doing AWS was, let's make the screens more reliable.
That's right.
This is the key function on this, was improved trash tracking.
AWS, that's right.
Jeez. That's how old we are,
the
Gary.
The corner collector took care of that. We were using the corner collector's AWS.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
That took care of that.
Once we put the corner collector in, that's why we came with the AWS design. The Gravity one for $22 million that everyone balked at.
What? Yeah, I remember.
Go back to my note taking.
Those days.
We had an action item from last meeting on this regarding the etching of the Lohr's memorial
rake
into the side of the.
Yeah, I think another titanium plaque.
That is now present.
I just want the bronze. I want the bronze head.
But I want you to put it on the.
You already have one of those.
Yeah, I know.
One that's out there already.
Yeah. more of iron, actually.
It's not
rusty.
All right, you can actually move it to his place.
Yeah, there you go.
It's etched in.
Yeah.
Sweet. Awesome. Need a picture of that.
First, he just cut it up for scrap metal.
Heck yeah. So, Brad, the only thing I had left on here was the performance center testing.
I know we still have the Kelcher here thing to talk about.
Yeah, who's going to do that since War Timer's still out?
Well, this goes to, the bottom line is we did a study last year. We're not doing another one this year. You know that already. But there wasn't the data.
Didn't work out for us.
Well,
they had trouble getting fish to that.
But there was there wasn't enough evidence,
exactly.
to warrant changing anything. So our plan is to go forward with the trigger as is.
Which trigger are you talking
about? Yeah. Which trigger do you want to go with?
Well, it's the, when we go from, from B1 priority to B2 priority.
What is that trigger? We don't have a trigger for that.
I thought we were doing.
We're currently going B1, so we can avoid. Well, so we're going to work on the line free structure. On the 15th of March, we talked about switching back over to B2, so we can. Gary wants it there, and they want to do the.
This year's an anomaly, I think.
Normally, we go to Powerhouse 2 priority on March 1st. When we start fish passage season, Powerhouse 2 is our priority powerhouse.
Right, but it's been shopped around for years that we would go to.
But he's saying we're not doing that, that we're going to stick with Powerhouse. That's
a
recommendation.
Someone wants to go home.
The data that you're making your decision on
doesn't exist.
Right, I'd like to see what we have.
Well, where is that? Because we got it, 2 years ago? The
blue tag we have. It was last year's. The main thing we're looking at was efficiency.
This is the Kelp.
It's like how efficient are the sluice ways. I mean, because the thing is, survival might be great, but if you only get 20% of the kelps that are over there go through the sluice way, then you're really not buying yourself anything. And that's what we're hoping War Timer study last year was going to tell us, like what the efficiency of that was. And they had trouble getting fish. They didn't have very many.
But I thought there's a large push on my side to have to use the first power up. So.
I know. I'm just saying, it's like, tell War Timer to get us the data. I mean, because if you can show us that efficiency is good, then you're not going to get a lot of resistance. That's what we're looking for.
In the short term,
what's that? I'm going to do that, because I talked to my Kelp guys, and they were not going, they didn't feel like they could really say much of anything, because they had so few adults. Because, the study got in late, they didn't get tagged as many fish as they'd hoped for. So I'll take a look at the study and see what it said, but my Kelp guys were there at that time. I was home taking care of another sick person at that time, son of a...
In the meantime, I have my memo out for to look at for a Kelp trigger
for this year.
Coming year, and possibly for every year hence. And really, it's actually not. If we stick with the second powerhouse, then we got the T220, but if we don't stick with the second powerhouse, we do move to the first powerhouse, we still have the partial operations there to deal with, and that's what that memo was meant to address last year. This year, I've modified it to address our half operation.
Hey, in that memo, could you please explain where the 20 fish came from? What Richie was drinking when he came up with that number? Because I'd like to have some of that, too.
He was not happy with it.
What?
Which is in 40?
Can you reiterate though what your memo
was? You're trying to have, what did he come up with?
What, this year's
dartboard?
This year versus your memo, what are you looking for? Are you looking for?
I put out, I sent Tammy, and I think they're probably coming out of the F-bomb for discussion.
Yeah. Is that the March 18?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
So that's the March 18 under current configuration?
It's on the web.
It's on the web.
Yeah.
There's a lot on the web. Can you just tell me?
I can tell you. What
March
18. Is March 18. Last year it was 17. I added one more year's worth of data to it. Now it's March 18.
Back
so March 18.
Very simple.
You open the corner collector for Celts.
Yeah. Right. It's just the target date. Open it for Celts. And
that's based on Powerhouse 2 priority, though?
That's based on the data we have when Powerhouse 2 was priority.
Was priority.
The past years.
Yep.
So thank you.
It's looking at what we had, and here's my best guess, prognostication of what could happen in the future. So let's slid back another day.
Right.
But actually, it's half a day, but I gave you another half on top of that, so you should thank me. What's that worth?
Diddly squat?
About $1 million.
Yeah.
You just have to convince someone else at my agency and your go-to.
We've already been talking with
someone.
Including exactly. Your boss and your boss's boss and your boss's boss.
Cool.
Boss.
Keep going.
Okay. Well, I can't find the last
the other boss is retiring, so.
I don't know who's taking this place.
Oh, yeah, they do. There's an announcement.
Well, I've heard, but I don't know.
Floor, the table, the floor is yours.
I don't think it was on performance center testing. Derek Fryer set up a doodle poll to talk about 11-12 for low mo and then at yesterday's meeting that I had with the POC's point of contacts, their view was that meeting was going to start talking about which tests had made compliance. It was going to be a performance center metrics meeting, which was totally news to me because at Walla Walla, that was not what we talked about at all. So I don't know who's got their wires crossed. It could be me. It's not, though. So... because I'm never wrong, Lisa. So. She said she's waiting for the day when I'm wrong, so she can gloat for a long time on it. So,
so I'm always right.
I know. So it's one of these days, you know. So if we could get some clarification on that, because I got it from Dan and Rock that's what this meeting of Derek was going to be. And I'm going, there's no way we're going to have that meeting.
Dan Rock said that?
Dan and Rock said that to me yesterday.
The meeting that Derek scheduled. Is to discuss further acceptance of some of the old studies.
Right.
For retroanalysis. That was the retroanalysis for Moe and Goose, and it was also to go over last year's data at 12. Because some of us had some questions about
last year's data.
Yeah, because some of us had some questions about the magical mystery tour of Appendix D.
Right.
That's the dead fish one. That's Skalski, how he magically poof took care of that whole issue, which we've been told
and
is the biggest issue ever.
To Derek, the Walla Walla, to make sure that John. Researcher Jeff McMichael are at that meeting.
Oh, great. I haven't been beat up by Owl for a while.
Yeah,
so.
It's been a while since Skalski's beat me up. I'll miss this one.
Yeah,
it's so low.
Trevor, you can go. So, I mean, that's what I understood the meeting was. And then for me to hear that, oh, no, we're going to talk about compliance at the Lower River, at all projects, about which ones
no,
have
not,
met.
No,
thank
no,
you.
No,
I just
that meeting is... I'm gonna schedule one to talk about 12 studies, and then to talk more about past studies.
Yep.
And for the middle of March, we weren't gonna try to squeeze it all into one day.
No, there's no way you could.
No way.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. So, I mean, because that's where the performance metrics paper that NOAA put out to talk about compliance of what tests met NOAA requirements. The one comment we got in there, because we put in a whole plethora of one, and my policy people said, screw it, we don't want to talk about this, let's just throw it all to SRWG. So I'm assuming that's what this SRWG is going to be about, is like when these tests do or do not meet compliance, and then we can argue over what NOAA intended in their little metrics paper. So, and that's just going to be awesome.
What's our
metrics paper? What?
The performance standards metrics paper.
What? It's data that it was written by the Corps.
Yeah, but the thing is, NOAA's got their signature on it, so... You gotta look at the letterhead. So, my whole point was, I had to get clarification on this because when Rock and Dan were telling me this Derek Mean is going to be talking all this, I nearly fell off my chair. I said, "Are you nuts?" And that, of course, got them excited. So I said, "Well, Walla Walla, it's not at all what we talked about. So let's get exactly what we're going to talk about." And I want to talk to you today, find out what's going on. So,
yeah. Yeah, to my understanding, we're going to go over the 12 data.
Yep.
Going to talk about the past data.
The cherry picking. Oh, sorry. Did I say all that?
The past data.
I know. Retro analysis.
Based on the criteria that have been established already, that I think were established in Gary's paper.
And the
I'll own up to that.
Well, the resonances that was attached to your paper, and we sent committed comments to that. We said, hey, there's this issue, this issue, this issue. Supposedly, Jason, it's sitting in Jason's email box. He's supposed to get... Hawker Smith has sent comments on the retro analysis, a response to our comments that we sent in.
This is a big, this is a double issue.
Oh, I know,
this
it's a
mess. This is a very big double issue. One issue is Walla Walla District projects, and actually it's just Snake River projects, and has to do with the retro as mm-hmm. well as the current data
12
that we've
data.
Got for yep. compliance testing. The other part of it is accepting is for the lower river. There's no retro analysis associated with lower river from the area on down.
We did,
but
you guys
there
did
is
drop off the bottom
that works for both the Snake and the Lower Columbia
yep.
that describes whether or not the individual performance study results met the standard.
Yep.
That paper has got multiple paragraphs and it goes through all kinds of different what ifs, and so does the retro paper.
Yep.
And that meeting or meetings has not happened. We've been asking for that.
Yep.
So this it must be both of those from what I'm hearing.
Well, my understanding
this
was
meeting, the meeting that Derek has sent the doodle poll out of the scheduling is for the Snake River.
Right.
It's for
you're talking about
yeah,
for
it's basically
March.
What
his agenda was
about for
March is the lower river.
It is the lower river.
So that's
yeah.
the other issue.
But the lower river will talk about more of the metrics paper from what I'm understanding is.
Yes.
And
right.
not the retro.
Yes.
Right.
So both of them are going to talk about last year's data. That's fine. The Snake River, the Derek one wants to talk about the retro analysis, which, and we're supposed to receive comments back on the comments we gave them on that. And then the one you're setting up is going to be 12 data plus this, the NOAA metrics paper. And
for the lower river.
And
I mean,
going
essentially
through.
Essentially, with the idea
yeah.
being coming out of that meeting is where are we? Right.
Yep.
As far as compliance.
Well, I mean, because there's certain...
Standards.
Yeah, because we're waiting to hear like
no
stuff
order.
like say McNary last year, which...
Coming out of those meetings, we're going to be going to Riyadh. That's not what it's...
Yeah, well, there's
going to
be some bruises. There's going to be some bruising and some knuckles and some knots. Because, I mean, there's going to be questions like, McNary last year, you didn't meet your 3% standard deviation. What do we do about that? Do we just say fine?
Right.
I don't
gonna
know.
Be, it's going to be... That's why I don't even think SFX
yeah.
is the right place for it.
Gee, you think? That's
no,
why
I
tried
this
to put...
a long time ago.
I know.
It's really going to go so quickly to Riyadh or somewhere else that...
Well, where else can it go other than Riyadh?
We can sit there and argue about it.
And the problem is Riyadh is such a technical forum. It's going to be a great discussion
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
So
it's a mess.
It's going to be an interesting meeting.
It's going to be something.
I'll be sick that day.
Yeah.
Let me know how
I think a lot is going to be sick that day.
So far, I've managed to miss all of them.
Just make sure when you get to Walla Walla, you beat up on Derek.
I plan to.
Okay.
I'll be warmed up for you then.
Okay.
So Derek said his that Walla Walla, the Snake Retro, and I think it's going to be in Portland for that meeting.
I figured it would be.
Yeah.
The Walla Walla meeting is going to be
well,
in Portland.
Well, the Walla
yeah.
Walla
the
district.
River.
Fine, then we'll have ours in Walla Walla.
Yeah.
Don't you dare. Don't you dare. I've driven Walla Walla too much. I'm tired of that drive. That's all I had on the forum center.
So is that... March meeting being advertised at this point?
No, no, it has not.
No.
Everybody's my calendar.
March is getting ugly.
Yeah. So what does March look
yeah,
like?
Scott, you don't have to worry about this here. I'm out here. I'll put Holly on that
done.
One. Yeah, thanks. Thanks, by the way. We appreciate that.
I got, well, except for the first week and the last week, we got a little 2 weeks. A little 2 weeks. Other than SCT and EF bomb. So it looks like the first 3 days of the middle two weeks are best for me.
So the first 3 days got to go end of March. Well, when does Derek?
18.
Did you look at the doodle pool for Derek? What dates are solidifying for him?
He hasn't identified which ones.
Okay. All right.
Still accepting doodle
inputs.
Ones.
Yeah. So I guess I should call him and see if he needs a room.
Well, that's a good idea.
Yeah,
that's
right. I get my girls on.
So I'm not going to know which we can't get in.
Okay.
Well, you actually text pretty well, so.
I should have a buzzer or a video camera.
Did you see this? I got one of these at the front desk down here, the security thing. You guys
know
what I said?
Monday morning.
Yeah, because you know, the core is definitely not worried about security. Noah, you're
prepared. Oh, yeah.
I'm going to shoot through. I'll probably stress it.
Yeah,
I don't know. I haven't looked at Jared's email.
So, yeah. So, are you guys going to, let's talk some time about retroanalysis and what you guys are going to say about it.
Yeah, you're not going to like it.
Oh, I know. So, how fast did you get rolled?
Well, it's going to be interesting. Yeah, talk about it seriously. It's going to take a little while, so.
April 4th is the next
thing. So, we're
for a good rolling.
Yeah.
So,
I guess we're just going to cherry pick a pick nine.
Are we not discussing the Cascade Island exit plan? That's fine.
Cascade Island exit.
Do you guys see at least the trailer stuff?
Cascade Island?
Yeah.
What'd you break?
Be here? Just at F-POM.
Make it quick.
Cascade Island. Lamprey.
What about it?
Yeah.
Exit.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
The exit thing. Uh-huh. Did you want that discussed or no?
Cascade Island exit.
I didn't want to discuss.
Okay. Good.
What is it?
The lamprey flume, the exit to the lamprey flume, the volitional passage at Cascade Island where it
What about it?
That.
What about it?
We have drawings, in case anyone wants to.
Drawings or what?
The Cascade Island exit flume for the lamprey.
One more time.
We can get it the third time, I get it.
It's on the website.
Cool.
The drawings are there.
I think, did Sean send that out?
I don't know if...
Why, is there an issue with it or something?
I don't know.
There was one.
Just an update. Oh, yeah. You know, this that's how we are. One. We share information at the U
forum. Oh, is that what it is?
This is a new exit.
We only want to know about things and stuff.
It is the new...
Because right now it doesn't...
Okay. Trevor, you got to look for the bright light. It's all fine. I think you'll think it's fine. It's just...
Are they going to go over to the spillway?
Yeah, they're going to dump right into the spillway. Downstream of the Cascades Island fish tank.
No, you're kidding me.
Yes, I am not kidding you.
No, I'm not kidding you. Yes, I am not kidding you.
Yes, I am not kidding you.
We might get your attention.
There's not going to be any fallback.
My dear,
the tourists in that area go the wrong way.
Yeah, that's the problem. Lamprey aren't really smart.
It won't fall.
Good work.
I hope not. I'm just like going, why Lamprey task group these guys? I wonder what the hell they do.
It's so nice you don't have to deal with Lamprey anymore.
Shut up. I'm drawn back into this. That's why we hired Brian backwards, so I went to Geo.
Yeah, what happened there?
Oh, those are the Lamprey task group.